This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. And we are at the tail end of the Golden Week, which means that we have a big show coming up here. And for that one, I not only have Dylan on my side, but also Rob, who did the great Patreon series with Dylan on the Champion Convo once again. So, Rob, it's great to have you back here.
Yes, it's such an honor to be back with you guys. Last time I was on this show was for the G1 wrap-up.
Exactly, and I really like to make this a pattern that we always have you on these shows where we do a conclusion of these big tournaments. I think that's a nice staple we can establish here.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Ed1, G1, Champion Carnival.
Fire Festival.
Yeah. However much of that makes tape.
If we could watch it, yes.
Osaka Pro Tennozan. Dylan, what's going on?
Oh, it's great to be here, Striga. I always loved doing the shows with Robert on the Patreon. We covered the whole Champion Carnival. Every single match was covered. At the time, we took detours into How I Met Your Mother with Robert's project, his writing project, which is very good, by the way. He just released... The funny thing is, he said, he was like, oh, I'm not feeling anything right now. And then, like, a day later, he comes out with a new version of it for Suzu and Jun Kasai. Am I correct?
You are correct. Number 4 match of the year right now. And that should tell you where my taste lies when it comes to All Japan, if I'm giving a Jun Kasai and Suzuki match the high grades. Temper your expectations of what I think about the Champion Carnival.
You're already setting our expectations in a certain place, Robert, but I'm very excited to do this show, though, and especially now, Striga, now that you're here, it feels like the Eastern Lariat family is whole again, and I'm very excited to see what you thought, because we haven't really talked about things since the last show we did, which was obviously the first half of the Champion Carnival. Now we get to the back half, the better half, and I cannot wait to see how this goes.
It was certainly the second half. If it fits the better half, we'll see when we discuss it. But first, we're going to go to some other topics, or to one other topic here, because Dylan, I know what Rob's answer to this question is, because we discussed it, but who's your favorite member of the Club 27?
What would this Club 27 be, Striga? This feels like an inside reference that, if I answered, it would not make much sense.
Well, it's actually not like an inside. It's the club consisting of popular musicians, artists, or actors who died at the age of 27.
Oh, well, in that case, I don't even know. That's such a crazy thing when you look at it. You know, if you're a fan of conspiracies or just odd coincidences, that's a subject that you can very much look on. But I just don't have the list in front of me. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to copy off your answers. I don't want to say anything like that because I don't have the list right in front of me. I'm going to look up. In fact, as we're talking right now, I'm going to look it up and see if I can find an answer for you right now. I'm going to look at the list right
I'd
now.
I'd say you're a Jim Morrison guy.
Big Jim Morrison.
Of course. Definitely better than John Morrison, I will say.
What's your take? What is Dylan's favorite 27 guy?
Dylan's a wild card because his music taste he doesn't discuss too often. And when he does, we get things like NSYNC, who I'm sure aren't his favorite groups. But those, when we talk music, or you know, the artists that come up. So maybe some sort of pop artist. Not quite sure.
Mm. No, I grew up on like old school hip hop and stuff like that. Memphis. 3-6 Mafia and all of that. So I don't know if anybody I would know would be on this list or would be a huge fan of. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm not seeing a lot of people that I would be a huge fan of, to be honest. But still, you have Jimi Hendrix in here. Obviously, everyone knows him. You've got Kurt Cobain. He's on there. A lot of people like Nirvana. I'm not really a big fan of theirs, to be honest, as musicians. But he's a legend. People know him. Amy Winehouse. you have that. Kim Jong-un of SHINee, K-pop group, is on here. So lots of different people. Many, many more, just not many I'm a fan of, unfortunately, on here. Let's go with that. I like SHINee's music. Let's go with K-pop to fit with the boy band aesthetic.
Yeah, since we discussed it, I started listening to Jimi Hendrix again. I just noticed that I hadn't listened to Jimi Hendrix for years and years and years, and I've really had a great time going back to his music. And, Rob, you gave me your answer right away.
Yeah, D. Boone, number one. He was a punk artist in a band called the Minutemen. Southern California. Yeah, they jammed Econo. They were very, very influential in music. You've probably heard their songs, even if you don't know. They did the Jackass theme song, so they had that style of music.
Absolutely great call. But the reason that I came to this is that I noticed a pattern in New Japan Pro Wrestling, mostly title matches, but also some non-title matches. And I'm going to run down the list right here. I'm going to start at February 11 of this year. IWGP Heavyweight / Intercontinental title, Kota Ibushi defeats Sanada 27-51. February 28, for the Intercontinental title, Kota Ibushi defeats Tetsuya Naito 27-50. April 26, Tetsuya Naito in a singles match defeats the great Okan 27-05. April 28, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title, Sho and Yo defeat El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, 27 and 10 seconds. May 3rd, ladder match, Taichi defeats Tama Tonga in 27 minutes and 11 seconds. And I first noticed this pattern when I saw the Junior Tag Title match from the 28th, where when the 25-minute call came, they started rushing to the finish like their lives were in danger. And I thought it was so comical. And now I never can unsee this ever again, and neither can you two.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like this is Big Japan with 30-minute time limits either. So no. To see them rushing at 25 is very apparent.
And I have to praise you. I don't know if we said this on one of the Patreon shows or it might have been off the air, but it's such a very random thing. Like, for me, I never would have noticed this at all. By that point, I probably have been like, man, when is this match going to end? with some of these people.
Now you know.
Now we know. It will be very soon once it gets to the 25-minute mark. But you specifically caught this and were able to calculate it into this list that they've somehow... who knows if this is on purpose or coincidence, but I hope it's on purpose. I hope it's a specific directive to where they said, look, it has to be in the 27-minute range. And, as soon as that 27-minute hits, somebody's in the ref's ear and saying, go home, tell them to go home. It has to end on the 27th-minute mark.
I think they have a bet going on backstage. Whoever is able to hit the 27 on the head is getting the jackpot.
Yeah, I imagine you like that scene in The Hangover where he's doing all the math and all the numbers come up and everything's aligning with you, Striga.
Yes, absolutely. And one other thing was aligning, because Kota Ibushi came back for this tag match in the main event of that one show they did at the end of April. And I've said it a couple of months ago that his body language while he was champion was so weird and so not Kota Ibushi-like. And when he came out on the show and specifically looked out for his body language and for the facial expressions that he used, and it really felt like a giant, giant burden had been lifted off his shoulders. And I hope that he's able to just get back to who he was, who he used to be, who became popular in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and not that main event champion guy that he... So, yeah, he tried to portray that wouldn't just work out for him.
Yeah, no longer has to be God. Now he can just go back to being Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, absolutely. Can just go back to being goofball God.
And that's the God we want.
Hopefully he just is not in any storylines where he has to change titles and get rid of title histories or anything like that. If they can avoid that, I think he'll be okay.
Dude, this video they are playing now before the IWGP World Heavyweight title matches, it's just so funny because they have this rundown. And then there's just Evolution and what do you call that? Evolution and Legacy, that's it. And then there's just Ibushi and Osprey.
Well, they had to lengthen it somehow. It could just be the same as before, just it starts off with Ibushi and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now we got Will Ospreay, and yes, had this match with Shingo Takagi for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship that I saw and thought, yes, that was a great match. And then I looked up the rating and was kind of felt a big disconnect, to be quite honest, because I thought it was a great match, but we have the rating at Cage Match at 9.48 or something. I just looked that up, and 6 stars from Dave Meltzer, obviously. And so it completely broke the scale of what I thought it would be. It was a great match, I thought, but it's something that Dylan, you and I discussed in the last couple of weeks too, that I know that the matches are good. I know that the matches can be great, but there is just this emotional disconnect that I have that I just can't get over anymore, and that's why I just can't get to this high rating myself.
Yeah, I think the match was good. I agree with you on that end. It was a little tough for a couple of reasons. I did this show on Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We're getting all the promotions. There's been a lot of wrestling lately, but it's all there, including all of my stuff with Rob, obviously. But on this specific match, there were a couple of things working against it right away. And I think first and foremost is that there was no way Shingo was going to win this match. Right away. So that really capped any kind of emotional investment you could have in this match. Even if you were, you know, very into everything, it's like you really have to work hard to convince yourself that Shingo could win this match, I feel like. Secondly, we just saw this match at the New Japan Cup Final. And, you know, they've had this series now. It's gone on. So that right away was like, okay, this is kind of a weak title match. Not necessarily in terms of the wrestling itself, but just in terms of this is a repeat.
Also pretty awful timing, too.
Yeah. Like, the timing of it is just not right at all for this kind of match. I did say, I know you didn't hear this yet, but if you listen to my Patreon show, I make a point. I think it's very important from a booking perspective, never mind just the wrestling. This show was an immediate sellout after they announced this match. And I think it's something that New Japan has really dropped the ball on a few times. And something, if you go back, like I said, this is the example I made on the Patreon. Go all the way back to 2007 when Goto had his first title shot versus Tanahashi.
Yeah.
From then on till now, like, look at last year, and it probably goes far back beyond that, but that's just where I drew the comparison. But look at last year with Hiromu. Hiromu's title shot was the only evil match that sold out. This show was in the middle of a horrific tour in terms of attendance in the Road 2 shows. We're publicly maligned by everyone, it felt like. And just very low numbers at Corcoran Hall. But this sold out immediately. I feel like New Japan has dropped the ball when it comes to first ever title shots. In Japan, first ever title shots are a draw. It's happened multiple times over and over and over. And yet, they wasted this one completely. Same with Hiromu. And if you go back to last year, I said the same thing about Hiromu. It feels like, yes, this was great for now, but why would you waste this in such a nothing match? Like, it could have been so much bigger if they had built up Shingo's first title shot. It meant more because it was him, even though the way they positioned it was he was kind of a geek in this story and the build and everything, but this could have meant something if they had held it off to a better point. So I think that was really bad timing, and they dropped the ball again on something that could have been a big draw in the future. But yes, the match was good. Not just the reaction on a cage match, the rating, but immediately after it happened, before the show had even gotten up, people were talking, you know, saying, oh my God, this is the best of their series, you know, match of the year, that sort of thing. And, God bless you if you feel that. But I feel like overall there were some flaws with it that I like, especially when it comes to the character of Will Ospreay. It's kind of tough to wrap your head around when it comes to his wrestling style is so babyface, and he's the top heel of the company at the same time. And they specifically go out of their way to make him look that way in his match, or he does in his matches. In particular, the headbutt spot they had, where it's like, now Ospreay, already a flashier wrestler than Shingo, as now actually being more of a badass than him at the same time. So I didn't really love the booking. But that match, to me, I feel like if you're a fan of... Like, this to me, I don't know if you felt this, Striga. Again, I'm going to surprise you a little bit with this one. This felt like, to me, a peak-level Dragon Gate match.
Yeah.
Like a Dragon Gate title match of Shingo's era. Not necessarily now, when it comes to this new era with new, different style of people. But it felt like when Shingo was in Dragon Gate, this is the exact kind of match he would have had. And they mixed some of the stuff with the table. They mixed some sports entertainment from America with the double tables and all that. And there were some good storyline points, because remember, they teased that in the other match, the New Japan Cup match, which ended with Ospreay doing the 450 to the outside. But now they hit it. So it was a cool little story. I like that. I like cool little callback type of deal. But, you know, there was good stuff. But I feel like there's a certain limit for me, stylistically, that I could go on that. But I'll give it praise. I'm not going to hate on it. It was a good match. You know, and Shingo obviously worked really hard. And in Ospreay, you know, you can't question these guys' effort, if nothing else. But, yeah, a lot of people really, really loved it. I'm a little bit lower on it, just like you. Me and you are more in line with it. But it was still a good match. And by far, in my opinion, the best on the Wrestling Dontaku shows. I reviewed both of them.
Yes. And that is the thing that I was going to ask you. But first off, that's a great comparison, to be honest, a great call on your part, the Dragon Gate comparison, because those Shingo main event matches were mostly like 30 to 35 minutes all action matches. And this one was very similar to that. Was a little longer. Was a little longer, and I think it was longer because they wanted to give the people in attendance a proper wrestling show, because they had to cut out the show and Desperado match, the Yo and Desperado match, and they had to cut out another tag match from the undercard. So it was basically just multiple matches and this one singles match on top, which is why I think it got 45 minutes. And you can see it in the match that they at some point just started to repeat doing stuff, and which they probably didn't lay out in before, so maybe they just call it on the fly. And to the other point, the tour itself. Do you think, Dylan, do you think this match got such a high rating because New Japan has such a bad rep at the moment? Because really, some of the matches they do, they're pretty awful. And my point is, maybe people want to rate this match so highly because they can just point at New Japan still knows how to do it. What's your take on this?
That's a good point. The funny thing is, on my review, I got a comment from one of our subscribers, who I love, even though he disagreed. Like I said, I always encourage disagreement. But he said that I went too low on the match, and a big part of it is that he says, look, I only watched the main events. I didn't watch any of the stuff in the undercard. So that probably hurt it for you. And maybe it did.
Just a quick interference here. A lot of people have said it before, but these New Japan under and mid cards have become completely unwatchable. Completely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the second one...
You just have
one,
to look at the ratings here on CageMatch for the matches that we have on the opener. 4.89, 4.78, 5.78, 5.25. That's the ratings for the second day of Wrestling Dontaku.
Oh, absolutely. That was a nothing show. Like, at all, until the main
event. Yeah,
like,
I only watched the main event.
Yeah, totally a one-match show. And that's you saying that. You're usually a big stickler on watching the whole show, but it's like... You can't, and like, be logical about it, I feel like, or you end up like me, and your night's ruined, pretty much. But yeah, like, the whole shows, I thought, like, the whole first night was a terrible show. I thought that was one of the worst New Japan shows in a long time. You know, the best match to me was like, Yeah.
But the actually the one wrestling Satsuma no Kuni, the day one from April 28 got a 3.75 rating. Basically,
Yikes.
Just because of the Evil and Toruyano match, I think.
Certainly, I don't know if you watched that match, but
Oh, yeah.
one of the worst matches of the
I
year.
Made sure to watch this match just because of the awful GIFs I saw on Twitter.
Oh, it was a horrible match, which, I mean, no surprise. I mean, like, what did you expect?
But the one thing I want to say about this before you go on with your point, I want to say this. Evil is in this horrible situation where he gets to goof around with Toruyano and has to play the, no pun intended, evil part of the match, while Toruyano is the funny clown. And I gotta give him some credit here, because I think that he plays his part like he's supposed to be. I don't know if in his situation I would be able to do this without completely going out of character and just laughing about the things that I'm doing in the ring.
He might want to cry because not that long ago he was not that long ago he was the double champion, and now he's doing this stuff with Yano. Like not that long later.
Be that as it may, he has his feelings intact that his character has to portray.
Yes, you are right on that. I guess that deserves there's some nobility in that, I guess, as a performer. So good for him as a character worker. But this match will not be anything he probably wants to brag about in the future, I would say. I was very disappointed. I wanted them to do the lights off match or whatever that he had. They were talking about, because it came down to the blindfold, or they'll shut the lights off every 30 seconds.
Isn't that much like the Zanada and Show thing where they did a submission match and he wanted to have a give up match? Because at the end, they had this blindfolded thing.
Anyway.
Yes, they did it anyway. They shut down the lights anyway.
Yes,
just
exactly.
From a different angle.
Yes, they actually totally did that in the match. So that's great. But yes, Evil from double champion to losing to Toriano in a horrible match. But, I just think that. Yeah, you watch especially if you watch this tour, because like I said, this was a maligned tour in general, like bad attendances, bad ratings, and I watched some of this stuff. You know, like Goto lost to Taiji Ishimori in a tour. Like this tour was like a dead zone ever. It felt like, but so yeah, then you ended with this big match with Osprey and Shingo, like you said. I'm not saying there's no criticisms of it to be had, but regardless, it was a lot better than all the stuff that had come before it. So you see that, and yeah, I definitely think that could have been a deal, because like you said, it's like, especially if you're a fan of New Japan, that's like, this is like the home team. And listen, hey, I'm a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies right now, the NBA, and our team is, we were looking good, everything was going great. And suddenly, they decided to screw around with the lineup. They benched people. They put people who shouldn't have been in there. And the team is collapsing. Like, we're falling out of the playoff race as we speak. And it's a horrible thing. But if we came back and won a game, I'd be even more happy. Because it's like, wow, we're getting back on track. And that's the thing. It felt like New Japan, if you're a fan of them, they've taken loss after loss after loss after loss this year. And they finally got something that they can, you can hang your hat on and not look just insane like that Yano and Evil match. Nobody liked that. But this, it gives you something to hang your hat on. So I agree with you. If you're a fan of New Japan, I think that does play a part.
Yeah, but to your point, you wanted to make this point about the Patreon subscriber to disagree with you.
Oh, well, he was just saying that I was too low on the match because I watched the full shows,
okay.
Which very well could be true. But I don't think so. I think the first show was bad no matter what. The second night, I like I said, I liked the match, but I just didn't have it as a, match of the year level type of deal. But like I said, I did watch every single match on these Dontaku shows, every single meaningless match that they had on there.
Wow.
But hey, like Tangaloa? He did all right. Like him and Zach, that was a pretty solid match. I'll say that was like the best match besides
yes, Osprey. It was the best match on both nights. The second best match on both nights, I think.
Yes. So that's something. Listen, I'm a solutions oriented person right now. I'm giving you positive feedback. I'm not burying you. I mean, did you see that ladder match?
I sure did.
And what did you think?
It was atrocious.
I thought it was brilliant, Striga. I thought the booking was incredible. Like, the action was so good. I mean, Tai Chi and Tama Tonga, I mean, when you think of high caliber wrestler of the year, those are the two names that spring to mind for most people.
Rob, did you see the bag they placed the Iron Finger in?
Yes. I have seen nothing from these New Japan shows. Not even gifts.
They used a shopping plastic bag.
What?
To place the Iron Finger in, and then they raised it above the ring, and you had to catch the Iron Finger from inside the shopping bag. I'm not making this up.
And so they just went to a convenience store before the show and just put it in there, and that was that?
It appears like that happened. Oh.
And the finish looked like Tama Tonga leapt off the ladder for no reason, pretty much. So it's like, yeah, they were both fighting on the top, and he was trying to go for leapt off to hit a gun stun on Tai Chi, but it looked like he just jumped off through two tables.
That's right.
So a brilliant match, and they ended it with Izuka's music.
And I mean, there's a point you can make about match length. We talked about the Shingo and Osprey one. The Tanahashi and Jay White one was obviously very long too, and at this point, I don't think it makes any sense to talk about match length anymore because it's just going to happen. They are just going to do that for the sake of it, I guess, because if you watch the Tanahashi and Jay White match, there's no other thing that you can say about it because it's just a match that went long for the sake of going long. Because they could have had a great match, the great match with the same content they had in this one. Instead, they could have done 22 minutes and it would have been much, much better, I think. But that's just how they do it right now. They want to have their epic 30 to 35, maybe longer main event matches, and that's what New Japan is going to do. And you either are a fan of it or you're not, and you get zoned out like we are. But calling it out, I don't know if that's a reasonable thing to do anymore.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say on that, I thought that they did some good things in the match. It's more so the finishing stretch that really took me out of all of that. But I saw a comment on it that everyone was like, oh, I wish, this is not the NEVER title I knew. Like they're doing this epic match. Why isn't it like it was before? And my only thing on that is, that NEVER title is gone. it's totally finished. When that IC title got tossed away, the NEVER title is the IC title now. That's how you should think about it. It's the secondary.
And also, it has this reputation because Ishii, Goto, they had the title for a long time, actually. Yes. And they are specific wrestlers that wrestle a very similar style. And the NEVER title has always been a title that was defined by the champion. Mm-hmm. It was never supposed to be stiffness title or anything. It was the title that was defined by the champion. Now we have Tanahashi, who was going to have main event matches of that caliber, and now it's Jay White, who is going to have his style of title matches now. That's the NEVER title.
Yeah, they're using it to draw, be a main event level title. Whether I agree with
they could have just had the IC title, but they decided against that.
Well, I'm fine with them getting rid of the IC title for reasons I've said many times. Okay. It could have gone either way. They had too many titles. They got rid of the one that they had buried and made worthless and kept the one that was good. Unfortunately, that meant having to change it to go for their main event guys who aren't as good of workers as Ishii and Goto and those guys like that. But in their mind, I don't know if I necessarily agree with it now, but in their mind, it has more star power with Jay White. And so if you look forward to that. But yes, I agree with you, what you said before about the guys defining the title, not necessarily the title. It's not necessarily
it's not the other way.
Yeah, exactly. It just so happened that the guys who wore it a lot, it's like Ishii, Goto, Shibata, and those guys were great workers. That's kind of how I looked at it. I looked at it kind of like the IC title of WWF in the 80s. You had Hogan as the champion, but all the good workers wrestled for the IC title. And it's kind of like this. I remember when Nagata won the title, it was very brief, but he gave this interview because at this time, I don't know if it sounds familiar, there was a heel stable that had a lot of interferences in the main event, and it was so boring for me, and I hated it, and everyone loved it, and I said it sucked back then. But he was like, man, you can't get pure wrestling with the main title, so this is going to be the wrestling title. And, like, that totally defined the NEVER title, in my opinion. Like, that's what I always thought of it. And those days are over now. Now the work rate title is the six-man titles, because those are the guys that hold it at this point. You know, but, yeah, like I said, that's the only thing I would say for the fans. Don't look at the NEVER title as it used to be. Like, once the IC title went away, it didn't really go away. They just changed the belt, pretty much, because it's like, that's exactly what the NEVER title is going to be now. They want to main event shows with it and have stars do it. When Tanahashi won that over Shingo, that's when, you know, they were already on that road. And when they got rid of the IC title, it was definitely on that road. So just remember that. Try to remember that. It's not really the title that Goto and Ishii held. It's more like the IC title. It's not buried as much as the other one was.
Yeah. The NEVER six-man tag team title is the real Triple Crown now of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess that is it on New Japan Pro. Oh, no, that's not it, actually, because they announced just today, as we're recording this on Friday, that they are going to postpone their big shows, their Wrestle Grand Slam shows in Yokohama, in the Yokohama Stadium, it was? I think it was the Yokohama Stadium, and in the Tokyo Dome. Officially, due to the state of emergency being extended until the end of May. And the thing about it is, guys, Japan, they, from our vantage point, what we are used to from our countries, the numbers are not that high, actually, because, for example, Osaka confirmed 747 new cases on Thursday. The thing about it is, they want to run the Olympics this year. And I just checked it. As of 2 days ago, Japan has a full vaccination rate of 0.9%. So less than 1% of the population is actually fully vaccinated, which is one of the lowest rates I can find on this list that I see here. And that is one of the key things that the Japanese probably see in this state of emergency. They want to do this Olympics, and at the same time, they need to do some prevention measures while they still don't have this many vaccinated people. And that is like they are really walking on the edge right now with this. I don't really see the Olympics working out like they plan to do. And now they extended this state of emergency until the end of May for Tokyo, Osaka, Yogo, and Kyoto. And there are several other regions, including Kanagawa, where Yokohama is obviously located in, that have lower tier state of emergency restrictions. They are just pretty much called like prevention measures. And now they've called off their shows for now. But the question is, we've had the brief discussion on Twitter with a longtime friend on Twitter, Minoru San. He made the point that they may be canceled, aka postponed the shows, due to the fact that their top guys can't make the show, because on the Wrestling Notaku Night 2, they had to take off Okada, Yo, Sho, and I think some Suzuki-gun guys too. Taichi was there, or who was there? I'm not sure.
It was Kanemaru and Desperado.
Kanemaru and Desperado, right. They had to take them off. But the key could really be Okada, because if Okada can't make it to Yokohama on the 15th, they can't really build up the Osprey match on the 29th. So do you think that could be a case, Rob?
Yeah, that sounds about right. You know, you can't go without Okada when you're in New Japan.
Yeah, absolutely impossible.
Yeah, I mean, they canceled the shows already, so or they're postponing them. So
postponing, yeah. Thing about it is, the 29th show, they could go ahead, but they have this restriction now. Originally, the Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said that he wanted to just extend this state of emergency they had in Tokyo, which would have meant empty arena shows. But now they've come to the conclusion that they, in principle, allow sports events to have fans either with half of the capacity or with 5,000 fans max. And a Tokyo Dome show, and Chris Carpenter made that call on Twitter too, a Tokyo Dome show in May with 5,000 fans tops in attendance would just look completely awful. And I do think that is part of the reason too why they call it off.
Yeah, I mean, like, just all things considered, there's no reason to, you know, do it. I was wondering if they were going to even try and move it to somewhere else, like move the Dome show and, like, do a show that day if Okada couldn't go. But they just postponed him, and I think it was the right move for all kinds of reasons, like, to be honest. So I think they did the right thing for sure. The COVID pandemic stuff is just terrible, as always. It's very sad that things are kind of going how they are, because there's a lot of great things that are getting thrown into complete flux, and this is the latest case of it, unfortunately. That would have been a big deal, regardless of all the circumstances surrounding it. Having a second Dome show would have been something that you could, again, if you're a fan, you could hang your hat on. But unfortunately, it's gotten postponed. But I think it could be a blessing in disguise in the long term if they could get it right where, you know, things settle down with the pandemic. You could have more fans in there. Hopefully, it'll be better in the future overall. But yeah, like I said, it's postponed now. So hopefully, they can get everything right by the next go-around, whenever that is. We don't know, like, when they're going to reschedule the game. But I'm sure they'll give this another go-around later on.
Yeah. I was really sweating for All Japan Pro Wrestling, though, because they had been so affected by the state of emergency on the tail end of the Champion Carnival when they had to, basically cancel their show. Not cancel their shows, but to shut down the venue without fans. And I really liked that they did the final show in Kuroken Hall, though, because it showed that the show had a bigger value than the other ones they did in Shinkiba First Ring. But for the Auto Watch show on the 16th, I was really fearing that they'd have to cancel that one too, because I read that Auto Watch isn't even allowing empty arena stuff. So they would have to find another venue for that. And doing a big show like that in Shinkiba or 2AW Square, it doesn't really feel like a big show then. But it seems like that they are going to be able to do the show with half of the capacity in Ottawa, and that's really good for them that they can at least do that big show. And going to All Japan Pro Wrestling from here, they had the finals of the All Japan Champion Carnival Tournament on Monday, May 3rd. You two already did a Patreon show about it, so we are not going to go into big details here. But I want to toss it to you, Rob. New Japan isn't really your forte, which is why you didn't really add too much to the discussion right now. But All Japan, you watched all of it with Dylan. You talked about all of it with Dylan. What is your general impression of this year's Champion Carnival Tournament? What is your favorite match? Who was your favorite guy? How did you think it came across? Was it the carnival that you thought it would be?
Well, there's a lot of discourse halfway through the tournament, right, about Suwama and his value in this tournament and whether he was good or not. And Dylan and I found ourselves on the side of Suwama's been good. But then on the final day when we talked MVP, he brought some sense to me that, like, yes, he was the most consistent guy every show, but can you really call him the MVP when he didn't have any clear stories going on? And that's stuck with me ever since. I'm not sure you can call Suwama an MVP, but I do think he deserves more credit than some of the stuff I've been seeing around Twitter. That being said, I thought this tournament, it did a really good job. I mean, the Jake stuff, particularly in the middle portion of the tournament, you know, he was still trying to find his way with this character. But we saw on the final day with Kento, he did less of the shtick. It was none of the goofy laughing. It was just a more serious Jake who was targeting the chest of Kento. And I thought that came across really well. And
me too.
It really brought the light and made me feel positive about the future of this company, at least for this upcoming title match.
I really agree with you on that part. This was the match that I don't know, and I agree with what you said on the Patreon. I don't know if from the pure wrestling standpoint, it was the best match of the tournament. It has, I think it has the highest rating of the tournament on Cage Match with 9.06. I need to double check that now while I'm talking. But I do agree with you that they managed to get the guy over they wanted to get over. And in the match, I really liked the approach that Jake Lee took. The laughing at points was pretty silly throughout the tournament, especially when they had these venues, these smaller venues with like 300 people in attendance. The laughing sounded pretty awful, to be quite honest. Just look at it. It has a rating of 9.06. And yes, it's just slightly ahead of Kento Miyahara versus Suwama, which is 9.05. So very close here. And I think that's the one that you called out for your favorite match of the tournament, just in the match sense, right?
Yeah, I think that's the one. You know, we sometimes are down on Kento's shtick with Wada, but there was none of that in the Suwama match. He really just brought it full force. And I thought, you know, sometimes we're down on Kento, but that really exemplified why you can't be down, like why the guy is where he is. Like, when Kento is on, he's one of the best in the world. And yeah, that match was the perfect example of why people love Kento.
And the main thing that I really loved about the final match was that they put over Jake Lee just clean. They didn't go to any shenanigans. They clearly stated that his Total Eclipse group is not going to interfere in the big matches that he has. This group has its own goofy storyline on the undercard, and he is just the top guy, the top dog right now. And they told a bunch of great stories with him throughout the tour, and they laid the first seed of that with the Suwama match. And I gotta say that still, after the tournament is done, this is still one of my favorite matches, the Jake Lee Suwama one, because it left this out for the eventual title match, and they basically have a finish they can work around in the title match on the 16th. And Jake Lee lost to Suwama, he beat Miyahara, now he has the chance to beat Suwama, and it really all comes together. So from what they wanted to accomplish, this tournament really felt complete. Dylan, how about you?
I thought that I pretty much agree with what you guys said, to be honest. I thought that Jake and Kento, I agree with the inmates as well, because those, to me, those two matches they said are pretty much the matches that stand out, in my opinion. Kento and Jake and Kento and Suwama was a great match. There was a lot of really good matches in here, and we'll get to that with the whole tournament, but at the end of the day, they had a chance here to where you can have a shot to put over a new guy and make him look strong. And I think the whole tournament really was very successful in getting over who they wanted to. The main event, I loved Jake's strategy here. I completely agree. You know, Rob was hit the nail on the head with that. I much prefer him wrestling like this than the heel shtick and things like that in the tournament. I think that's just not a main event level act, really, the laughing and all of that. It just felt like very disingenuous at the end of the day. You know, it's not really, you know, it didn't feel real, whereas this final match with Kento felt much more real.
Yes.
And I also really thought Kento did a great job on the opposite end. I thought he made Jake look really strong in terms of how he sold. You know, he was dry heaving a little bit with some of those chest attacks that Jake was having. I thought he did a really good job there. Wada, you mentioned him, just terrible in general. Even just doing normal referee stuff, it's like, the truth is that he's so old that he can barely even get down to count effectively.
I love how a three count in Kyuei Wada's world is a five count with any other referee.
Yeah, exactly. Like, totally taking away from the matches, in my opinion. Like, and they have other referees. They have Nikon Lee, somebody everybody respects and mm-hmm. does a great job. They could easily have her do it, and that would be awesome. But Wada, I just think, is just too old for this, man. Like, you know, I get that he's a legacy type of guy for All Japan, but to me, takes away from everyone. But Kento specifically, because they have the storyline. But yeah, like, the final match was great. And you have to really praise All Japan, if nothing else, for getting over new stars, which I think they did very effectively.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And Yuma Aoyagi is another one of those they put over. He had kind of a slow finish to the Champion Carnival. He had some highs in the middle of the tournament, but then he had this final match with Koe Sato, which, you said it, they didn't do much in the match. And in the end, they did this fist bump, and you were bewildered by what was going on. But later on in his backstage comments, Koei Sato said that he wanted to find a partner that suits him now to challenge for the World Tag Team title. And that is what they basically agreed to in the ring. Koei Sato said, now you beat me, but now I'm going to beat you again in a tag team title situation. So that's going to happen on the Ottawa show too. Yuma Aoyagi.
Did you find someone new?
No, no, it was not about a new. It was not about a new partner. It was he just basically said that he wanted to find someone who suits him, and that's obviously the big dog.
Oh, yeah,
Rob. Okay, Rob. Yuma Aoyagi, and we both know Dylan is very high on Yuma Aoyagi and sees him on the same level as Kento Miyahara and Jake Lee that they are already on. What do you think the ceiling is for Yuma Aoyagi in All Japan Pro Wrestling?
The talent's there. Like, you clearly see it. Dylan's a smart person. He saw it before everybody else. He'll be the first to tell you that. But Yuma...
It was really more Okada, by the way. Like, y'all have me with Yuma. Like Okada
yeah,
was Okada's the one that
not here anymore, so...
Yeah. Like, Okada was the one I thought was, the real best guy. But Yuma showed a lot. Like I said, the talent's there. I don't know if he's on the level in terms of booking yet. But go ahead and bury his attire, Rob. I know that's what you did.
His entire
by the way, I loved the Patriot show. I really loved that part where Rob said, his attire is awful, and you just rebounded by saying, your attire is awful.
Yeah, no, he said something like he has the attire of a doofus or something like that.
Good old kindergarten child fight.
Yes.
That's the only very comeback you can have, because it's just bad. He's there physically. The attire needs to change. You know, you see him next to Jake and Kento, and I just don't feel him. He still has the boyish looks to him, which fits him perfectly where he is right now. He's this little troll guy who mimics people, and he's great in the younger brother role. But to see him rise up, there needs to be some sort of change, which I'm sure he can do, because Dylan and I have reiterated throughout the Patreon, he's great as this cocky guy. He's great as this underdog babyface. So I'm sure once, you know, they turn it as he is this main guy, and he beat Jake in this tournament, so you figure that's going to be a title match sometime this year, too. But yes, the attire needs to change, but the talent, it's all there.
You made the point on the Patreon about him being in a more of an underdog role, being more of a babyface, and I actually think that role suits him the best. And whenever he gets in a situation where he gets to be a dick, I think that you can really put an emphasis on that so much more if Yuma is a dick in some situations against some guys and not against all of them. For example, against Jake Lee. If he ever gets into a situation with Jake Lee and a story with him, I do think he really needs to be a dick with Jake Lee, because Jake will also be a dick to him. But it doesn't make any sense, as you said it on the Patreon too, to be a dick against like guys like Koei Sato or against Shuji Ishikawa even. So I see a little bit of doubt in your estimation about him, Rob, and I'm not really sure if Yuma is the guy that they are going to run with as a top guy. But on the other hand, with Naoya Nomura being gone, and we're not sure if he's going to ever be able to return or be the same again. There really is Miyahara, there is Lee, and then there is Yuma Aoyagi. And if I'm looking at what is going to happen after the Champion Carnival now in Ottawa, I actually can see the Twin Towers winning the World Tag Team title from Aoyagi and Miyahara. And with my expectation is that Jake Lee defeats Tsuwama for the Triple Crown, because it's due time for Tsuwama to lose the belt. I can see Yuma Aoyagi and Jake Lee being a program for the end of the year. How about you, Dylan?
It would make perfect sense. They have a lot of history to call back on when it comes to that. I think if you look at talent-wise, he's up there with these guys. I don't think the look is as big of an issue as Robert personally, but I do think that they have not quite gotten him to that level yet. It's like, you look at Yuma, he's had a couple of title shots here and there, but not the extended level that someone like Jake has had, you know, where he, you know, him and Kento, they had a series like 3 title shots in 3 months or something like that, not that long ago. And to his detriment, to be honest. And Yuma, I think they, like, you know, will they get there with him where he's like a top, top guy? To me, I feel like the thing is, they're going to try this with Jake as this heel character, and that's great. You know, I know, Striga, me and you, we liked Jake even when other people said he was boring, pretty much as a babyface. It's like we were really on board with him and thought he had what it took to be the guy. They booked him so poorly that they had to change everything about him pretty much to this really unnatural type of deal, and hopefully they're working that out. He's working out the kinks of it, and it looked like maybe he's on the right path with the final match. But Yuma, I think, you know, he really showed me something, and I, you know, I was always a fan of his. Like I said, it wasn't like I always knew he was going to be a main eventer or anything like that, and he was the guy I was super high on. The time when it changed for me, where it really clicked that he had that upside, was when he turned on Kento, and I just remember that turn was so good.
Great stuff.
Yeah, like just the look that he had was like superstar level in a way that nobody else on that roster, quite frankly, besides Kento, has ever achieved, in my opinion.
And that needs to be a situation that is forever immortalized in All Japan Pro Wrestling, because the month afterward, when Kento Miyahara defended the title against someone else, he just had to look around if there is someone who would German suplex him again. That was just so cool.
That was great. They blew it, though, with that.
Yeah, they did.
At the end of the day. And he really did nothing that whole year last year, to the point, again, where they booked him so poorly, they had to turn him and change everything about him. And to a good extent, because he basically just reverted to where he was before. And he still carries on. Like you said, he's kind of a jerk sometimes and has a little bit of those heel tendencies that he brings in every now and then. But he's pretty much a babyface, like, through and through. Like, Kento's a little brother, just like Robert said. At the end of the day, though, it has to be somebody that's a main eventer in this company that's a new guy. Suwama's not going to be around forever. And really, most people, and I agree with them, even though I like his work, think he's been a main eventer for too long as it is. So he's not going to be around. If this thing with Jake doesn't take off, then it has to be somebody at the end of the day. And it feels like Yuma would be that logical third person in line based on how they book him, more or less. So they gave him a pretty good run in the tournament. He had 10 points. I thought he had pretty great matches. It was very consistent throughout. Even from the beginning with Otani, I thought he did a great job. Mm-hmm. And I thought he kicked things off well, had a good match with Kento. You know, it's like, it has to be somebody, and of their roster, I can't imagine who I would put above him. Just if you count their booking and how they wrestle and their talent level and their charisma and all that stuff, to me, he would be up there. In terms of the last part of the year, the way All Japan books, I could see this all leading to Kento again actually being the main feud for Jake, but I think Yuma would be the more prudent option because Kento has already been there and done that pretty much, and I think that they need to kind of, they could formulate a rivalry with Yuma and Jake that I think that would be on the level of a Kento and Jake, but it's not there yet. They have to do that, but I could easily see them just going back to Kento based on their previous booking patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. I can agree with that. And I want to go to the Kento and Yuma Aoyagi match from the 29th because it embodied a lot of what you said about Aoyagi and about your criticism about Kento Miyahara too, because in this match we saw a different Kento Miyahara and we saw a different Yuma Aoyagi from what they usually did in the tournament. Yuma Aoyagi, yes, he still was the underdog, but he was not the underdog babyface. And Kento Miyahara was not the flashy guy that he was in most of his matches. This match was a match that came down to both guys throwing a lot of forearms and a lot of fists at one another and going into a really fierce battle. And if you portray Yuma Aoyagi like that, while still being like, I don't know, you could maybe call him a blue chipper, babyface guy, I think that is a good way to portray him as a true relatable character that could challenge for the Triple Crown that Jake Lee holds as the heel then. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, that match was an interesting one because, like you said, the dynamics seem to have shifted there where Yuma at points was the aggressor, and those, I think, stole the show, where he was able to, you know, kind of troll Kento a bit with, you know, his taunts and some holds and whatnot. But when it came down to it, it looked like Kento was treating him as an equal at the end. You know, which is, it's good for Yuma. Kento does this. He tries to do this with everybody he goes against, tries to make everybody look like an equal to him, which is sometimes a detriment to Kento, I think. But it works. When it works, it really works. And I thought it was a good representation of what Yuma could be if they are to go a little bit further with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit further, they really need to go with him. He's not there yet. I guess we can all agree on that. From here, I want to shout out another thing that you said on the Patreon show, because I couldn't wrap my head around that one. That's your criticism of the Shuji Ishikawa versus Uwama match from the final day. So I came home from work and really just wanted to watch the Champion Carnival, and I saw this one, and Ishikawa and Uwama just had a 20-minute match where they ran into one another like bulldozers, hit fierce lariats in one another, threw each other around. Ishikawa destroyed Uwama with multiple fire thunders. I can see the selling of Uwama being a point of criticism here, but I very much agree with the cage match inmates on this match. We have an 8.05 rating. I mean, I just love this heavyweight clash. I didn't really ask for anything else in this one. It actually blew away my expectations, because I saw Shuji Ishikawa have very good matches in the second half of this tournament. I really liked Ishikawa's approach in the last few matches. I liked this match with Kento Miyahara a lot too. But this one surprised me. I didn't really expect this fierce of a battle, this heavyweight clash here with Uwama too, which again points out to you too that Uwama really is one of the guys that you can pinpoint as the MVP of the tournament. I agree with you that he is the MVP actually. But I don't know. I really love this match.
Yeah. I mean, are you saying that Shuji looked more motivated when he was booking himself to win?
Yes, that is actually true.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah. Now, Shuji, he brought it. I thought the match was good. I like the old man matches. You know, that Ohtani and Shuji had a good match. I thought Suwama and Sato on the first day had a good match. They aren't matches I'd like recommend to people, but they're on that verge because you see the effort of these guys. You know, they're able to really go out there, and their characters are so much more established than these younger guys, and they have a real grip on who they are as wrestlers. And that stands out so much when you have someone like Koji Doi, who doesn't quite know who he is. Yeah. But you have Suwama, who, I mean, he can wrestle a 20-minute match with Shuji, or he can take someone out in 6 minutes. There's a really good range with him. And yeah, I mean, I didn't love the match on the level you did, but I can get it because it was high effort. And it wasn't a bunch of no-selling bombs either. It was very deliberate, which plays into their age and just the speed they can go. But it's a story that makes sense because they're old and slow. So, no, I understand why you liked it. It just wasn't at the level you were at.
Oh, well, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head for me. Like, this was like stuff we've seen a million times before, but done older and slower and more boring. That's pretty much how I thought of it. And it wasn't a bad match. I'm not going to say it was like, I don't think they're, like, honestly, you could count on one hand a number of matches, I would say, that weren't at least average, you know, and like a lot of them were good, like in terms of this tournament. It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't even below average. But to me, it's just like, I've seen this style of match enough already. And this was not a high-end version of it, in my opinion, because of the reasons Robert just said. So to me, it's like I can't even really analyze it too much. But at the end of the day, this style of wrestling is a very fan-friendly style as well. So if you're into this, like this was like a you know, the Big Japan Strong, you know, Big Japan Strong kind of match that Shuji is known for, and Suwama could go with them as well. So if you're into that, then yeah, like I mean, it's not like they did anything wrong per se. It's just, for me, it wasn't very interesting because I've seen the style done with a lot more explosiveness than what they brought to the table.
Is there a match, Dylan, or is there a couple of matches, I don't know, in the tournament that you ended up going higher on than, for example, the Cagement users?
I don't have the cage match ratings right in front of me, but let me check. Let me see if I can get that on here and compare it to my own ratings. I'm sure there was a couple.
There's one for sure for me here, and that was Ohtani and Oshino.
Yeah.
I have that in the top five of the tournament.
You love
it. Was a great match, yes.
Yes, it was pretty fantastic, I thought.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't have it number one is for heat, but I have it as number two of the tournament. Ohtani and Oshino, same show as Suwama and Miyahara, I believe.
Yeah.
I think was the best show of the tournament.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And on that show, I really want to give them a lot of credit because this was the first one of their empty arena shows. And they really made sure by their work, by the level of the work that they did, that you completely zoned out of there not being any fans and they just completely kept your attention on the ring because both the Ohtani and Oshino match and the Miyahara and Suwama match as well as other matches like Lee and Zeus on the card, Koe Sato Ishikawa was a nice little one too. I really liked the show.
Yeah, that was a really great show on there too. Yeah, I really enjoyed that too. We even mentioned that. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but what felt like it was going to be something, because I had speculated when that they announced it, because it's not like we knew this going into the tour. They had to shut things down in the middle of the tour, pretty much saying, okay, we're going to have no fans for these shows. And I was wondering, well, is that going to take anything away, or is the effort going to be as big as it could have been? Because we were really supposed to get into the meat of the tour on those shows that unfortunately they took away. But when it actually happened, and this is something that's been consistent with All Japan going back a year ago, they can do empty arena wrestling better than pretty much any company, in my opinion. And we were talking about it after that show, me and Rob, and Robert was like, man, this show was hotter than the one with fans, you know, pretty much, like the one beforehand with the single cam and all that stuff. So it's like they did an amazing job. Everyone involved deserves, you know, praise for how they handled that situation and keeping things in a really high pressure and a really bad situation it could have been, but they actually turned it into a kind of a positive. And like you said, they made it to where it was like, when that show happened, we were like, okay, this tournament's going to end up okay, pretty much.
Yeah, so is there any match that you're higher on?
Yeah, first of all, Yuma and Ohtani was a little bit higher than the fans, but nothing too crazy that I'm seeing right now. Like, there wasn't any big difference where it was like, I loved a match, and then everyone else thought it sucked, or anything like that. But yeah, we might have been a little higher, because I was high on that match too, as well, Oshino and Ohtani. Not quite as much as Rob, but still right up there, you know, in terms of our ratings. Suwama Oshino, I thought was right up there too, was a really great match. I was actually even higher than Rob on that one. So there was a couple in there, like Suwama, you know, Oshino, Yuma, like those guys, maybe you could go a little bit higher than some of the cage matchers.
I think I'm higher on one of the, or two of the early matches of the tour. When I look at Miyahara versus Zeus, I really love that match. It is at 8.09. I might be a little higher even than that. And I'm higher than the Cagement users on the Jake Lee versus Suwama match. It is at 7.45. I would go flat 8 on that match.
Yeah, I think those are fair ratings. I remember Dylan and I being a little bit lower on that Zeus and Miyahara match, and he brought up the good point of it's going to be compared to the final. You know, we probably have a little bit of biases here because we still remember how great that match was.
Yeah.
But maybe if we did go back and watch it, we'd be like, oh yeah, maybe it was a little bit better. But, you know, you kind of always want to downplay the beginning of a tournament. You don't want to blow your load with your ratings on the first day. So maybe that was a factor. Who knows?
It was a good match, though.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, would you do the same format again next year? The one block, no final, just the round robin thing?
Yeah, I like it. You know, everybody gets 9 matches. You know, there's maybe some guys who you know, you don't want to see 9 times. But I thought they did really well in this tournament with everybody. Everybody got their little time to shine, and everybody came out of the tournament looking really good. So I see no reason to extend this to 20 people. Let's just keep it 10, one block.
Dylan, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I completely think so. We said it when Noah did it with their tournament. They cut the fat down. That's something I really love about these smaller tournaments. You know, there's just no reason to have 20 guys because 20 guys just aren't competitors to win the tournament at the end of the day, and a lot of them just aren't that interesting. So to me, in this tournament, I thought it was very easy to watch. I thought pretty much everyone had at least motivation and reason to be there, and I thought they did a really great job with handling it. My only thing was if, you know, maybe they could have a final match, you know, in the tournament. I think that might be a little bit more dramatic than just have, oh, well, look, it's the last match of the tournament. Like, yes. it all comes down to there magically. You know, like, I would rather there be a final than that. But the 10-person format, I think, is great. Maximum, like, if they wanted to do it blocks, maybe have it, you know, I think you could have a good tournament if you put it in blocks, cap it at 8 people per block.
I prefer less. right. I don't know about the 8-6 maybe, but we've discussed it. Maybe Yoshitatsu would be back in there, but maybe next year there's other ones they can throw in there with some guys they are building up. You talked about Dentamura, for example, being a very big guy. Maybe they have someone next year they can throw in. But
we said Tamura was too small.
Yeah, right. Yeah, both guys are there, basically. They are both aspiring to be heavyweights, I guess.
Maybe. Like, you know, who knows? I mean, I would aspire to be a heavyweight, too. Have you seen their junior division?
I'm almost certain that Dentamura is going to be heavyweight someday. Maybe not next year. Let's see.
He definitely has that physique. Just real power guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, on the format, one of my key issues is really the thing that you said about the final, Dylan. There is no final. And it's the last match of the tour, and they've laid it out like that. I think they need to do something else next year, not necessarily change the format, or maybe even not add a quote-unquote final or a real final to the tour. Just mix something up at the end. For example, like what they did with Jake Lee and Naoya Nomura a couple of years ago when they had this decision match to decide who was going to go to the finals of the carnival that year. Just to change it up a bit, and then you can keep the format, because the format, I agree, with the 10 guys in the tournament was very good, very easy to watch, and that is the key for this tournament. It was not too much content. It was totally in line of the depth of the roster of All Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, just imagine, even 14 guys in this tournament, just imagine who they would add to this group of guys, and it would drag down the tournament with these people then. But with the 10 guys, I think it was perfect. 2 blocks of 5 we saw last year was not very entertaining at all. And so this one was probably much better.
And the talent was significantly better in this one, I thought, than last year's.
Yes, significantly. So I want to run this down with you, and a few of them are no-brainers, I would guess, but I want to have a thumbs up and a thumbs down from you two on all of the 10 guys. Are they going to be in the tournament next year? I'm going to start with you, Rob. Jake Lee.
Thumbs down. No, of course, thumbs up.
Easy thumbs up, right, Dylan?
Oh yeah, he's got to go. He's not a star at all. They buried him in this tournament. Nobody wants to see that anymore. He's got to go. But
gonna ask you another question on him. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Is he going to go in as the champion next year? How about you, Dan?
No.
I hope so. Let's Me get too. A big long reign. I hope it works out. But if you're a realist like Dylan with his no, probably not. But
probably going to be Kento.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. The Kento would be the champion next year.
Stop the Kento.
Oh, great.
Kento Miyahara, another no-brainer. He has to be in just to put over guys like, in this case here, Jake Lee.
Yep, he put over Jake Lee. He put over Ashino in this tournament. You know, he put over Zeus on the first day. Kento did a really good job in this tournament of putting guys over that needed to go over.
And our criticisms are still valid with him. But if you look at just this tournament, I thought he had a pretty damn awesome tournament. Like, up and down, when I really looked at it, when I was doing the numbers, when we had our Pure Star ratings and stuff, it's like for both of us, Kento's in the top two. Like, you know, at the end of the day, despite our criticisms. So it's like he's up there, and he really has something that nobody else really has captured yet in terms of his how he carries himself as an an ace character, as a star. It's like Jake doesn't really have that yet. Nobody does except for him. Like I said, I made the comparison on our show. It's like every time he walks out, it feels like he has a 100-point lead in the tournament, and he just comes across like the biggest star in the company by far. And like I said, I'm not saying he's the perfect wrestler by any means, but if you look at his tournament, I thought he had a pretty strong showing, all things considered, on here.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I sometimes get frustrated by his shtick as well, because I think he's just so good, and he knows it, that he just tries to get by just doing his shtick. And then again, he turns it up whenever he wants to, whenever he feels it's the right moment. For example, the Yuma Ayagi match, where he goes a completely different route and is just as awesome as he always was. So yeah, that is the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, you want to see him throw in effort every night because he's the ace, but when he does throw it on, it makes you look pretty foolish when you criticize
him. Exactly.
I thought we had a really good discussion, not to like plug our stuff again, but like me and Rob, I thought we had a really good discussion because we were comparing him on the last show. We compared him to the other aces of Japan, Kenosuke Takeshita, Kaito, Noah, Kaito Kiyomiya, and Kazuchika Okada. It's like we were kind of comparing them as wrestlers and how they carry themselves as an ace. And it's like, I thought that was a really good discussion, if anybody listened to it.
I still have to get to that discussion, to be honest.
No. Well, maybe you'll enjoy it when you get to it.
I will certainly. And Dylan, how about your thumbs on Zuwama, up or down? Next year.
Yeah.
Is he toast?
Oh, well, I mean, the thing is, he's not interesting because of he's been there forever and done everything, but he's a good wrestler. Well, very good, even. Like you said, he's a guy who's up there as one of the best and most consistent wrestlers in this whole tour. So to me, I think he would have to be there. Put people over, yes, but he can have good matches as well. He can be a valuable player, I feel like, in All Japan in that role, in the Champion Carnival role.
Yeah. He really has to be there just as this big heavyweight star that is there to conquer for the younger guys.
I'm not sure he has to be there to put over Shuji on the final night, but he needs to be there.
The young guys, just like the TikTok, the young crop. But yeah, he has to be there. So, Zeus, Rob.
Of course, Zeus. What a start to his tournament. You know, he starts off, I think it was 3 wins in a row, and then drops to Yuma, which was one of the bigger stories of the tournament. It was Yuma finally getting this big win. Everyone did a good job at putting Zeus over in the beginning of the tournament. You know, it kind of fell apart at the end, and then you had Otani bowing out of the tournament. And that kind of puts a damper on Zeus's, like, what you remember about Zeus's tournament. But when you look back, you see that beginning. He did his role really well. He's one of the strongest wrestlers, you know, consistency, show to show. Of course, Zeus.
Very unfortunate ending for him, for his tournament, as you said. They had to go to this very comical double countout finish with Zeus on the second to last day because they couldn't let Zeus get any more points since he was going to defeat Otani by forfeit and would have had 12 points then, and they would have made they would have had to make the final a 3-way then. So that was really comical and really unfortunate for Koji Toi too. They couldn't even get him a second victory. That goes to show we can go to him right now. So 3 thumbs down for Koji Toi next year. He's going to be out.
I hope he's in it, but.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I thought they didn't book him that well, but
let me rephrase it. I hope for the guy, but realistically speaking,
yeah, how they presented him, you can't be hopeful. You know, you can't be certain they're going to bring him back for sure. He did. It's tough, right? Because he's in this heel faction, yet you know he's getting beat by everybody. So I'm not taking this guy seriously. The way he's presented is just awful. You know, as a pure wrestler, you know, he's a good guy, but something will have to change for next year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they took out Kumarashi after he had basically the same run in last year's tournament, so I don't get my hopes up for Coach Doi.
I thought Doi did a lot better than Kuma
in the tournament. Yeah, he did better, but from the points situation.
Well, but who will it be if not him next
year?
Like
that is another question. We can go to that a little bit later on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Is it Doi or Tatsu? I think that I have more confidence that they'll go with Doi again than Tatsu. Maybe it'll be Tajiri based on they book. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go through the other ones first here. Yuma Oyagi is a no-brainer. He has to be in next year. Is he going to win next year?
Well, that's to be seen. They'd really have to, you know, keep it on him. They can't lose the steam. You know, like you said, they may lose the titles this upcoming show. So it'll be very important what they do with him after that to keep him moving. Because where they have him right now, you could see it building up, but it'll be crucial, you know.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in that, to be honest with you. But hopefully, like you know, I think he would be a great choice if that were to be the case. But it's too soon to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. But he should be in, no question. Rob, how about Kohei Sato, your favorite?
Yeah, I love Sato. Pretty weak tournament early. You know, I think his only real big standout match was that one against Shuji, where in the arena, they're just headbutting each other. Like, it's like, okay, this is the Sato I was hoping to see more of in this tournament. You know, I did love that match with Kento, where Kento didn't even try his headbutts. He's like, I know if I even taunt Sato with these headbutts, I'm fucked. Now, Sato, it depends. I mean, if he sticks around with All Japan, you know, he's friends with Shuji. So if he's still here, he'll be in the tournament for sure. We'll have to see. Maybe he goes to Noah and starts his own alliance or something. But if he sticks around,
Special
Sato
K.
There we go, Special K.
The S Alliance. We'll feud. But I agree with all that. You know, and he's got a good presence. I think he played his role pretty much exactly as I thought he would. Like, good mid-card guy. Realistically, like, if he beat somebody big, it wouldn't be like the most crazy thing in the world. But if he lost to anybody, it also wouldn't be that crazy. So it's like he plays like what Ryoji Sai used to be in All Japan, like mid card dude, or like Goto in New Japan, kind of. You know, a guy that can beat anyone or lose to anyone. And he wrestled fine. He wasn't a standout, but I think, like you said, at the end of the day, he's friends with Shuji, so he'll be good.
He's wrestling anyone but Shinji or Otani. And I think that you need a guy like him in this tournament. So to me, he's a no brainer. Because you really need a middling guy in a tournament like this that will just end up at, what did he make? He had
10 points. He wasn't a middling guy at all.
Well, actually, when you have five guys, 10 points, you are a middling guy.
I guess that's true. Yeah, they really cut it low, and everyone else was jumbled together, pretty much.
Yes, and if Otani showed up, it would have been lower.
Mm, true. Shuji Ishikawa, the big dog, is he going to be in next year, Rob?
I mean, hopefully he's not. Hopefully he's able to see. It's like, you know, other people, you know, we can bring other people from other promotions in. We just had luck with Otani and Sato. You know, I'm the booker here. I don't need to be beating Jake, Kento, and Suwama in three nights in a row. That's just not the role I need. I'm the Galra champion. I could stay this. You know, Jun Kasai can come in and we can do our death matches. And, you know, I could stay in the mid card. But
well, that's a great fantasy scenario you've laid out.
But that is actually the road that they lined out for him, or that he lined out for himself. Earlier this year, that he was going to be the Gaara champion that does goofy stuff with the Gaara title. And that is why I didn't even consider him to get all these big wins in the end.
Somebody had to get the wins, and he couldn't decide. So he said, fuck it, it's me.
Fuck it, I'm good.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of his. To be honest, these days.
He showed that he can still go at the end of the tournament, but the first half of it was not very inspiring. So I wouldn't mind to replace him with someone else.
Yeah, that's not. I don't have any hope of that at all. But no. he's like you said, he can still go when the time's right. He's still okay. But it's like this whole like booking yourself over the top star stuff is not what I like at all. Like that really soured me on him. And I'm already kind of down on him, like in a similar way to Suwama, and that he's stale. And it's clear that he's lost more than one step at this point from where he used to be. But after, I think he had a good role, and then when he started putting himself over all these top guys in the tournament, I was like, come on, man. I'm not into that. But yeah, he'll be back next year.
Yes. Back again next year, Shotaro Ashino. I don't have any doubt on that.
No, you got the win over Kento. That was really cool. You know?
Yes.
That's about it when it comes to his tournament. But
yeah.
He has the Wrestle 1 Alliance going on at the end of the tournament. Third match on that card.
I'm pretty certain. I said that I think the Twin Towers will win the World Tag Title next, but I think that at some point, either late this year or early next year, this new tag team that he has going with Suwama is going to win the World Tag Title.
That'd be really cool. I'd love to see them in the tag league.
Yes, that would be great.
That's a great spot for both guys.
I think that was the plan from earlier this year on, from the first Triple Crown match.
And maybe the Twin Towers don't
the second
win
Triple Crown
because
match.
Maybe the Twin Towers don't win because we just brought up the Ashino win over Kento. Maybe that is what gets Suwama and Ashino their title shot.
Yeah. Right. See? Could work out as well.
Yeah, that to me is a perfect spot for them. But I mean, right now they're in this feud with Total Eclipse, so that doesn't really play into anything. They'd have to kind of like get around that somehow, I guess.
Yeah, there's still a way to go to the World Tag League this December, so we'll see that. Would you love, of course, well, that's kind of a rhetorical question. Would you love to see another run of Shinjiro Otani in the Champion Carnival?
No!
The worst person in the tournament. Oh my god, he's an embarrassment. Of course. I think if Otani stuck out the entire tournament, we'd be able to confidently say he was the MVP of this thing. So much fun. Please, Otani, wrestle more where we can see you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Very much like Yuji Kobayashi as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome, but, like I said, I mean, we'll see what happens in a year, but yeah, unfortunately, yeah, he probably won't be back.
No, if Koei Sato is still in the tournament, he won't be back.
I don't know, like I said, I feel like they should have accounted that before the tournament. if that was this big issue,
I just don't know why they didn't just go to a double countout and just...
And why wasn't that match just last? Like, he didn't just miss one match, he missed two matches.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, who knows with all of that? The 0-1 politics continue to wreak havoc on the pro wrestling. But, yeah, he was great. Loved him. Love him as a wrestler. Still do. But, yeah, it feels like he was the outsider. There'll be a new guy next year.
Yeah, so we basically talked about all the guys in the tournament, and there was really very little thumbs down from either of us. So is this just going to be the same 10 or 9 guys with Otani out? Do you think they'll run the same guys next year, Dylan?
They'll add a couple of people, I think. Especially if the pandemic is over with. I like this format, but I get the feeling that they will add more people if the fans are there. If not, if they have to do another abbreviated format, then I would say pretty much Otani's going to be out. Everyone else, maybe Sato, like Rob said, if he left for some reason. But otherwise, I would say the other 9 are pretty strong cases to be back in.
Let's say, Rob, there are 2 spots open next year. Who would you put in?
Well, if Doi is one of the people out, it'd be cool to see Honda get a shot.
Oh, yeah.
You try Kuma, you try Doi, now let's give Honda a go. Yeah, I mean, as far as, outsiders, who can All Japan work with? You have the DDT guys. Well, if you bring in, a Takeshita, that'd be a pretty big get for them.
Don't consider that realistic, to be honest.
No, probably not.
All the rest of the Universe guys probably aren't going to work with them.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I have two. I will just throw them out right here. Ayato Yoshida from 2AW and Takanori Ito from Gleet. Great. Sorry.
Just call it Gleet. That's what everyone else does. But yeah, you know, I think if anybody, that would probably be where you would look is actually like Great or Gleet or Gleet, if you want to get really technical about it. But yeah, I think that would be, if there was a place that they would look, it would be somewhere from there.
Yeah, Yoshida will have to drop the title first, I think, just for the amount of falls.
He did. Yes.
Who did he lose to?
Taishi Takisawa.
Oh, well, all right. He lost it too late. He would have done great in this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so those would be my guys. Yoshida was supposed to be in last year's tournament, in the early one in April. So I really love to see another run of his now in All Japan. He had this connection with Jake Lee when they were together in this Jin group that never really took off. Would be a great addition and would be a great match for guys like Yuma Aoyagi, Kento Miyahara, Jake Lee. Could really have cool matches with those guys. And Takanori Ito, on the other hand, would be a great addition to the beefy heavyweight side. And would be a good way for him to get more exposure, because who knows how much, when he shows great runs this year and next year. And it seems like that they are going to be working with All Japan in the foreseeable future. And yeah, I just would love to see him in there.
He has the Wrestle One tie too, so maybe something could happen there.
Yes, absolutely. And but at the same time, I would also love to see guys like Ryuko Honda or Dan Tamura in the tournament. Maybe one of those can make it next year. They can throw in one of them and make it 12 guys and have an outsider then too. It would work out as well.
I think it's gonna. It's just too hard to predict the outsiders this far out, because like so much can change. You know, like the year before this, Sugira was in the tournament. You know, like, so, like, who's to say that they won't start working together again in a year? Like, it could be a New Japan guy for all we know. Like, with how things are going, you know, it's like you just don't know what's going to happen in a year in Japanese pro wrestling, because like things are just so crazy, especially right now, that there's just all kinds of moving parts.
Just imagine Hiroki Goto in the Champion Carnival.
I would love that, but the judging by last time's go around, it would probably be like, you know, Kojima or someone.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else you want to throw in on the Champion Carnival 2021?
I thought it was a great tournament, up and down. You know, you have to give it a two thumbs up. And the thing is, it wasn't like there weren't any match of the year candidates in this tournament, in my opinion. You know, even those high ranking matches aren't as high ranking as some other matches already on Cage Match. But to me, it's like, you look at this tournament, there was barely any bad matches from anybody, I would say. And you know, it was very interesting how they got to push. The two main guys they needed to get over were Jake and Yuma, and they did that. You know, I think the big criticism would be Ashino's booking from a lot of people, but at the end of the day, you know, they weren't focused on him. They were focused on the other two guys, and they did a great job. And Ashino, I loved his work in the tournament. Like I said, I really don't think there were any, you know, the weak link of the tournament was Doi, but it was really just because his matches were shorter than everyone else's. I think the performances were good for nearly everyone, and, you know, hopefully they can keep this momentum going, because I think they have a lot of it after this tournament. You know, it might have been even more with the fans, but at the end of the day, a lot of people are into the company right now. A lot of people are checking out the tournament, and I think that they have a lot of momentum going forward. I think with Jake, you know, I mean, I would be stunned if he doesn't win the title, but maybe I'll look like an idiot in two weeks and be like, well, of course I should have seen it coming. But, you know, I would be very surprised if Jake doesn't win that title, and I think that they can build some really positive momentum going on, and that's a really great thing for them, because I think that a lot of times, All Japan, to me, last year, I thought was like, had a really tough year, in my opinion, like a really down year, and now they've got momentum going, and I'm happy to see that.
Rob, anything to add to the Champion Carnival?
Nothing really. Dylan nailed it there. It was very strong. nothing was a real drag. Everyone performed well, you know, like you were just saying, Striga, if they just had this, you know, same lineup next year, maybe one or two additions, like you'd be completely fine with it. Nobody here gave you any signs of, I don't want them around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I agree that maybe no match of the year contenders, but there's the stories they were telling in the matches are going to be ones that you remember at the end of the year, like Jake getting the win, you know, Yuma's run. So I thought, there's almost no downside to this tournament, I don't think. You know, you can bring up Oshino's up and down booking, but at the end of the day, I mean, the next show is the third match on the card, so the plans weren't there. You can't say it's bad booking. You could say, you know, they really should be doing more with the guy, but it's not bad for their plans moving forward. So, yeah, I mean, two thumbs up.
Absolutely. I agree. This was a good tournament to follow, easy to follow, and just a lot of fun was had during this time of the Champion Carnival. And we're going to have the Champions Night 2021 from the land of the Triple Crown unification to the 50th anniversary in Otawatt Gymnasium. There is a stacked card. We have no match order yet, but just going by the match order we have on Purloff. Atsuki Aoyagi, Rising Ayato, and Francesco Akaya go against the Great Stronghearts team of T-Hawk, L. Lindemann, and Issei Onitsuka. Should be a cool six-man tag. In the Jumu Tsuruta Memorial match, let me see if we... Oh yeah, we have a combination. Masanobu Fuchi, Shiro Koshinaka, Masahiko Takasugi, and Ruji Hijikata, I think. Take on the great Kojika, Shinichi Nakano, Osamu Nishimura, and, of course, Shikara. He has to play this match. The great legacy worker. We did our show on Straight Wrestling Show the other day, and I threw out the line that Shikara is the grandson of Riki Dozan, and we did the live show, and one of the guys listening on the YouTube feed just completely threw his lip and wouldn't believe me that Shikara actually is the grandson of Riki Dozan.
You wouldn't believe it. Shikara is just so good?
Yes, absolutely. Ah. That is the reason. I love Shikara. He's good. I love it.
Yes.
Shotaro Ashino and Ryuki Honda against Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi. You mentioned that Ryuki Honda just came out to save Shotaro Ashino and completely German suplexed Kuma Arashi to the Shadow Realm. What an amazing suplex it was.
It was awesome. Like that was like the moment of his career so far. Yeah. was on there. He looked great. Like, put him over really strongly. And yeah, he looks like they're, you know, like this faction is going to go places somewhere. It's unofficial faction as of now.
And how about
that? Subama, you're going places.
Yeah. Another German suplex being a story of a young guy making his rise here in All Japan. We have the debut match for the Saito brothers, Jun and Rei. Very tall guys. Almost 2 meters tall. I don't have that in feet right now, but you can make your calculations. They take
six,
on...
6'2".
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, could be. Could be. Yeah. They take on Daisuke Sekimoto and Yasufumi Nakanoe. What a debut that is.
I know. That'll be... I mean, just such a safe floor working with those two wrestlers.
Absolutely, man. Great stuff to pair them with these foreigners. That it goes to show how much faith they have in him and what they see in them.
Yeah, it should be a really good match. You know, great start off to your career. And like you said, working outsiders, pretty interesting debut there to have them against them. But hopefully they can put it together, have a big, beefy soul food kind of match.
The non-soul food part of the card is the Road to Royal Road Strong Style Different Martial Arts Fight 3rd. Yoshitatsu takes on former boxer, former K1 fighter, and former MMA fighter, Yosuke Nishijima. This guy...
Have you watched any of the Yoshitatsu matches on these undercards?
Unfortunately, I did.
Okay, so nothing to look forward to here?
No.
Okay.
That's the short answer, and I actually don't want to give you the long one, to be quite honest. This is Yosuke Nishijima guy, though. His resume is pretty awesome. when you look at it. He has had 24 wins in his boxing career, two losses and one draw. And then there is his kickboxing record and his MMA record. He has had 5 MMA matches and he lost all of them. And he fought the who is who of the mid-2000s MMA guys. His first one, in 2006, he lost to Mark Hunt. Then he lost to Hideki Yoshida. Then he lost to Evangelista Santos, Phil Baroni, and his last one was Melvin Manhoff. That is really the who is who of MMA guys from the mid-2000s. And his kickboxing record, he lost against Peter Arts, Ray Sifo, and then in 2013, mind you, beat Bob Zapp.
A win over a former IWGP champion on his resume.
By TKO. Watch out, Yoshitatsu.
Watch out me. I'm probably going to have to watch this.
This is going to be something.
Yeah,
if it's going to be anything like the last one, the guy's just going to do his stuff, and then Yoshitatsu just throws one move, and that's it. One of my favorite storylines in all of wrestling is for the All Japan TV 6-man tag team title. Takao Omori, Black Mensore, and Kabel Ito defend against Tajiri, Hokuto Omori, and Yusuke Kodama. I sometimes checked out the finishes of these prelude 6-man or 8-man matches they had on the undercards of the Chimid Carnival. And the matches always ended the same way. Total Eclipse somehow got hold of one of the belts, blasted Black Mensore with the belt, and Hokuto Omori got the pinfall. Omori, Black Mensore, and Kabel Ito are such dumb babyfaces that they fail to just think of a way to prevent this, to be hit with their own championships, and to overcome the heels doing that shtick. That is such a dumb storyline, but here we are.
Well, I mean, if you're the heels, if it's, you know, not broke, you don't fix it, you know, so keep doing it until they find a way to stop you.
Well, sure, for the heels, it's completely fine, but for the faces?
Yeah, not so much.
It's a very broke clock.
This sounds horrible. And Tajiri's in the match, so that's an automatic zero, but yeah, you can't get any lower from that, but after hearing that, it's like, my enthusiasm for the show is going down the further we get to it.
Well, hopefully this match order isn't real, and that's like the opening match or something.
Hopefully, or the dark match. Hopefully, they look out for the belt shot false finish here in this one.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. All Asia Tag Team title, Zeus and Izanagi against Hikaru Sato and Dentamura. I'm kind of eyeing for Dentamura to win his first championship here.
That would be great. I mean, you've been watching the undercard more than Dylan and I, and you've been saying on Twitter that, you know, there's some progression here with Dan and him picking up some wins.
Yes, he looked awesome. So, hopefully. Where's the bodyguard when you need him?
I mean, that could be a great match. Like, I really actually enjoy Zeus and Izanagi's team. I've really liked a lot of their other matches. I think they have an interesting chemistry to them. And Sato and Tamura have potential to be a great team. I love Sato. I thought that match with Shima he had for the title was Shima's by far best match he's had probably in, like, years, it feels like. Tamura, very promising guy. You know, he's been around for a few years now. He's probably ready to take a little bit of a step up. So if they won the titles, I'd have no problem with that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. All Japan Junior title, Shima versus Koji Iwamoto. Rob, is Koji Iwamoto winning back the title?
With any luck. I don't understand it. You know, why they've done this with Iwamoto a couple times now, where he just beats the guy that took the title from him. But hopefully they just go that route again and they try to find another junior. Iwamoto needs... No, Shima needs out of this company. Hopefully, Iwamoto.
Shima's singles run has not been impressive. As you said, Dylan, the Hikaru Sato match was probably the best one in years and years. And I'm fine if I never have to see the Spartan Cut ever again.
Yeah, that move sucks.
Not convincing as a finisher, huh?
And no one knows how to sell it because it just it looks so
stupid,
horrible.
Move.
Yeah,
what it is. But it's an elbow to the back.
It looks tremendous.
But you have to sell it like you're taking like a flat bump.
Yeah, it's just weird and awkward because like your body's not meant to do it that way because it's like you're kind of bent over, but you have to land without jumping. So it's really weird, pretty much like the move, the dynamics of it. It sucks. Like the move at the end of the day, and Shima's no good. We don't want to see more of him. We all agree with this. The storyline is stale. Like, this division is totally worthless, in my opinion. Like, you were talking about Dan Tamura, and I was like, of course he would want to be a heavyweight. Like, who would want to be a junior? Like, in this, it's like, you know, this totally sucks. Even if Iwamoto wins, it's like, this is so lame. Yeah. This title means nothing, and I don't understand any appeal to any of this.
No, the only positive you can try to garner out of this is if Iwamoto wins it back, they now have T-Hawk and Lindemann here. Maybe they help the division a bit.
So. Yes, that is actually the ceiling that I see for T-Hawk and Lindemann.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends on where they go with these tag titles, but historically they've not really been pushed to that great level in other companies. Outside of, like, you know, sparingly with T-Hawk, but yeah, like, they're more along the lines of a junior group, but even then, it's like, who knows? With sort of strong hearts, it's like, it's impossible to know how this is all gonna go.
Yeah. But, as I said, I laid out my thinking for the All Japan World Tag Team title. I think that the Twin Towers are taking the belts from Yuma Oyagi and Kento Miyahara. I guess it's going to be the semi-main of the show. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, it'll probably be the semi-main. You know, if they're keeping focus on Yuma, then I'm fine if this changes. But if it's just another belt for Shuji...
That's exactly what I'm thinking by this. It's like, I'm so uninterested if that happens that I can't even express how bad I think that would be.
Yeah, it would be the much better story if Suwama and Shotaro Ashino take the belts off Yuma Oyagi and Kento Miyahara, but I don't know. I have been right about All Japan World Tag Team title changes in the past, and I just have the feeling that this could be happening. Plus, it's just the big dog.
Yeah, it's totally possible. But, you know, the match could be all right. They had some pretty decent matches between these four in the carnival. You know, we'll see how it goes. It feels like they're just going to redo the Violent Giants just with the Twin Towers. Now,
yeah,
pretty much.
That's exactly what I think that they are doing.
Oh, great.
But overall, I think that the tag division is looking much better than last year. They split up the Violent Giants, as you said, and of course the Twin Towers are not a new tag team, but they are a new tag team in All Japan, and then you have Suwama and Shotaro Ashino as a tag team. You can still throw in Kuma Arashi and Koji Doi would be the best role for these two guys, to be quite honest. So there are a few teams they can newly add to the division, but the problem remains they have just two tag team titles and too few guys and too few tag teams.
Yeah, that's the problem, but you know, I mean, there's worse problems to have.
Yeah,
the right guys in the right roles.
True. Right guys, right roles. Jake Lee going for the Triple Crown against Suwama. Title change coming, in my opinion, and I guess, yeah. You wouldn't argue that, right?
No, of course not. This is Jake's time. If they, for some reason, didn't do the change, it would be even more baffling than last year with Zeus. Way more baffling because everyone sees that there's a future here in Jake, and they've done all this work with a new character. So, yeah, I mean... And we're fine with this, right? Because we always talk about, oh, a championship match is predictable. But that's only a downside when you think the champion's winning, right? When it's a challenger, at least it's something fresh and new.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. Absolutely. So, Dylan, what do you think? How do you think this match is going to go? Is he just going to win with his new brainbuster, or is there going to be anything else?
I think that would be the logical way to go about it. It'll be interesting if he keeps some of the stuff he did with Kento in terms of working the chest, if that becomes kind of like his deal going forward. You know, that's a very aggressive way to wrestle. So, I mean, obviously we all really liked it in the final, and I think that would be great again. Perfect strategy against Suwama as well, I think. And I think it should be a heck of a match. I mean, like, that this card is kind of weak, in my opinion. But then you have them, like, they have a lot of build-up cards, but for me personally, like, a lot of these matches sound really uninteresting. And then you get to this main event, and it's like, okay, like, now we're going somewhere with this. This is something we finally have been wanting for all this time, and we're finally getting it, especially me. Like, you know, I'm finally getting something different out of this company. I think it's desperately needed. And I'm happy for Jake because I feel like they did a really poor job with him in his, you know, the past run where it felt like, oh, you know, they're really moving him up. He's ready, blah, blah, blah. And it never really happened. And now he gets a second chance in this Total Eclipse character. He looks great. You know, like, you know, the new gear is a total hit. Everything about him comes across as a star. And he deserves this opportunity. So I think that, yeah, I think he's going to win it with his new Brainbuster move. And I fully expect it to be a great match.
Me too. And I kind of agree with your assessment of the card. There is a lot of uninteresting stuff on the card. Then again, probably some cool stuff too with Ashino going against Total Eclipse, Ryuki Honda getting his spots in the match, the Saito brothers debuting.
Yeah.
World Tag this Title should their, be good.
This is one of their biggest cards, it feels like, in forever. Like, yeah. For an up and down card.
Since they're Sumo Hall cards.
Yeah, yeah, like, this is one of their biggest shows in a long time, so I really hope for the success of it, even though, like I said, a lot of these matches aren't necessarily for me, but I'm have an open mind. Hopefully they can surprise me with some of it, and I'm very excited about the main event. I think that's going to be a great match, and just the aesthetics of it are so good to have a potential new champion, and you know, the thing is, even if they screw it up somehow, at least we'll have something to talk about.
So, let us continue then with some more stuff from this very golden week that just ended. I want to start out with Kyushu Pro Wrestling. I don't think that either of you have seen the show yet. I want to say that Kyushu Pro, the production level they have is pretty impressive for a company of that size. We have to point that out. They are a non-profit organization. They are a organization that the goal of the organization is to improve the health of the people in Kyushu. That's the main goal that this company has. And for that goal, I really admire this group. They, for example, in their early stages, they visited senior residences and just cheered people up. They are doing lots of smaller shows where they do a lot of interactions with children, and it's just very, just lovely to see how they approach their wrestling. And now they have this monthly show going by the name of Monday Night Vi, at the second one now, and they keep up their threat from the first show. The first show they had Jinsei Shinsaki there as a legend of the sport and of the independence, and on the second show they had Super Delphin coming out at the beginning of the show. And he was in a comedy match later on the show with teaming with Kuishin Bukaman against Button Blah Blah and Kodai Nosaki. But the meat of the show, first we had Billy Ken Kid defeating Naoki Sakurajima in a cool opening match, just a cool little match, TV match style. Semi-main was a very interesting one with Hitamaru Sasaki defeating Takako Fuke in 9 minutes in a UWF rules match with a very cool finish, an exchange of submission moves on the ground. It's cool how all these UWF style matches keep popping up now that great is a thing now. But the most important and interesting match of the show was the main event, the return of Mentai Kid. And when you saw the crowd of Kyushu Pro, you can see how incredibly popular this Mentai Kid guy is to the crowd that Kyushu Pro has, and they steadily draw attendances in the ranges of the 500s when they go to the different places in the Fukuoka region. So for a company of this size, pretty impressive too. Main event was cool with Alejandro and Menta Kid defeating Genkai and Kengo Mashimo. Genkai and Mashimo, they didn't really get along in this match, especially in the finishing moments of the match where Kengo Mashimo was not able to prevent Alejandro from getting into the ring to break a pinfall that Genkai had on Menta Kid. So Menta Kid reversed it with the Hurricane Rana and got the finish win with this one. So they basically set up two title matches for Genkai down the road, one against Kengo Mashimo, if they are going to get this one through with 2AW, and one with Mentai Kid. So good stuff all around here. So check that out. This is a under 2 hour show that you can easily watch in, I'd say, 60 to 65 minutes.
Yeah, they're a good vibe company. I really loved their first show and everything of theirs I've seen before. Just good energy up and down their card. So I'm looking forward to watching this one.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff in Fukuoka. They got a new logo, like, because they've been around. This isn't some new company.
No.
they've been around for over a decade, you know, at this point. You know, so it's like they're, you know, classic independent company. Like you said, good vibe company, I feel like. So good for them with this new product they have, this new show they have. And hopefully they can do some big things in the future.
So on May 4, we had two shows in Kirken Hall, of course, MT Arena shows. The first one being TJP. Yes, Wonderland 2021. We are still in the middle of our dreams. And DDT's Max Bump 2021. Rob, did you see any of the matches from these shows? Any favorites here?
No, I didn't give... I had both of them on at certain points, but I didn't give them my full attention to be able to tell you anything significant.
Dylan, how about you?
Well, it's clear the reason for that is he hates Soma.
Absolutely.
And he didn't want to watch DDT. Yeah, I watched both shows.
What was your favorite match from both shows?
Oh, hands down, the main event of the Tokyo Joshi Pro Show.
Yes.
Miyu Yamashita versus Rika Tatsumi. You know, they're still in the middle of their dreams, and I don't want to wake up when I see Yamashita wrestle because she is so freaking good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, great match. Like, so happy she won the title. Like, Tatsumi, it was great to see her grow and everything as champion. I think she did a very good job in an unexpected kind of way. And I love when somebody would do that because it's so rare. I think every company, every once in a while, should take a chance on someone who might not be ready, quote unquote, because I think that'll help them get ready. And I think that totally worked for Tatsumi here.
It couldn't have worked any better, to be quite honest, because this was a culmination of her reign. A short one, yes, but it helped to get her over to the level they see her now as a main event talent. And the key here was that Rika Tatsumi was able to have an answer to most of the stuff that Miyu Yamashita threw at her. So now, not only do you have Miyu Yamashita back on top, which I really love because I think that she just is the best in TJP and therefore... as the ace in this situation, carrying the company is the right move, in my opinion. But at the same time, they got Rika Tatsumi over to a degree that you wouldn't have thought of in early 2021 when she challenged for the title. And now there is just another one that you can throw onto the top of the card. And again, one of our points at the last show they did in April, the Still Incomplete show, was that they can just throw in top talent onto the mid-card. And they did it again here with the Prince of Princes number one contendership three-way match where Yuka Sakazaki defeated Misuki and Shoko Nakajima. And slowly but steadily, TJP is building a more and more solid roster. And I think the talking point of TJP is not only for the stories anymore. That talking point has to go at some point because the wrestling on this show was damn impressive. The main event has a rating of 8.67. I love the match as well, Dylan. I thought it was great. The other matches, we have a 7.58 for the tag title match, International Princess title match, where I really, really, really was so happy for Hikari Noah that she got the title win over Yukikami Fuku, 7.38. Prince of Princes, number one contendership, 7.43. So a lot of good ratings for the show. TJP slowly but steadily has improved, not only from the storyline perspective, but also from the in-ring perspective.
Yeah, it was. They've had a lot of good shows this year. Pretty much all of their shows are are interesting, and like you said, it's the ring work that's really carried things more so than the storylines at this point. They have some good things going on, obviously, a lot of characters and stuff like that as well that people are into. But yeah, the wrestling's been very good. The main event I thought was clearly the highlight, but you had these other matches. The three-way was good. The international match was pretty good, too. I totally agree. Very happy Noah won the title. Not as much into Kamifuku, but Noah, I think, has a lot of ups side. Probably should have just done it in the first place with their first match. But yeah. Whatever. it should be good for that. You have someone like Mei Suruga is so talented. They have a very good dynamic. Her team was Asaki-sama, so you have a really good team dynamic there. Mirai Mayumi, that's going to be somebody who's a star in the future, in my opinion. She's going to be on the way, and her team with Suzume is very nice as well. So up and down the card, you got good stuff going on there. And then you have some traditional silliness at the start with Palm Harajuku.
Sure.
Haruna Neko. They're doing good stuff there. Maki Ito and Arisu Endo was in a match. Endo, new talent debuting as well. Yuki Arai. They're getting new people coming in as well. So it's they've got everything going on. They're on a going full throttle going
this
forward.
This match, in many ways, was the most impressive match on the card. Not necessarily the best one, but the most impressive one. Because as the veteran in this match, you had Maki Ito guide Yuki Arai through her debut match. And of course, she had the veteran, quote-unquote, with Miyu Watanabe on her side. 3 years, a veteran now. In TJP, that counts. Maki Ito, 4 years. And she had Arisu Endo by her side. And we sometimes forget that Arisu Endo herself only debuted in January of this year. And considering that, the match was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I see a lot in Watanabe. And these new talents they're bringing in, like I said, they're very good. Endo has looked good in all of her appearances, pretty much. Even going back, someone like Miyamoto in the opener match, which I thought is really nice, and she's not even been around for a full year either. So it's like the number of talents they have that haven't been around for a full year are very impressive. So I think they've done a great job when it comes to that. And like you said, this random undercard match, really, with Maki Ito and Miyu Watanabe leading these young girls, it was very, very solid for her.
Not so random, actually, because it kind of played off the history of Maki Ito, with Yuki Arai being a member of one of the idol groups in Japan, and Maki Ito cut a promo on her, one of the more real promos that Maki Ito has ever cut after the match, saying that they threw out Maki Ito out of the realm of the idols. Now, one idol is entering her realm of pro wrestling, and she has to get much, much better to be on the same level like Ito is. So that was a cool promo.
Yeah, but just like I said, just like a maybe not random, but like a third match from the bottom. It was a solid match,
Absolutely. What was your second favorite of the doubleheader DDT TJP at?
There were a lot of pretty solid matches. I think that match was clearly the best one. And there were a few that you could have. The main event of the... What did you think of the DDT main event? Soma and...
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Soma, man.
It was a moves match. Moves with a Z.
And, I mean, for that, it wasn't, terrible.
No.
That's the thing, me and Robert have this conversation all the time about Soma. It's he's not bad. He's just, so average that he's, painfully average. And everything about him. So that was kind of troubling.
The thing about it is that in his averageness, he sometimes is offensive.
Yeah, he's offensively average. I said that same thing there. I was he's offensively average is the way to describe Soma as a wrestler. But
no, this match was just too much for me. They went 25 minutes, and in the end, it was just near fall after near fall after near fall, and I zoned out.
Yeah, I feel you. I didn't think it was bad, per se.
No, it was not bad. But
again, it wasn't bad. Much like Soma, he's not bad. He's just bad to watch sometimes on here. But yeah, I feel you on that one. I really liked the semi-main event on that show, actually. The Jurets match. I thought it was a good match. For a six-man tag, but I think most of the good matches came from the Tokyo Joshi Pro Show, to be honest. I like the Princess title match the best. I thought the three-way was probably the second-best match on the show, the number one contender match.
Actually, pretty surprised then that you don't mention Chris Brooks and Saki Akai. Didn't you like the match?
Oh, I loved it. It was my favorite match there.
Well, can't really tell if you're what you're going to know about, because I really like the match. I
thought that's not my style of match.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, like I'm not a big fan of that, but I mean, you know, it's like, you know, like good for Chris Brooks to win the titles, you know, double title change. Like, it was long, you know, but
yeah.
Saki Akai is so improved. I'm always impressed when I watch her. I will give them that.
That's why I was actually expecting you to mention the match, because you were one of the guys that were on the forefront of pointing out how much she has improved.
Yeah, they tried to work like a lot of these submissions in the match, like, because they're interesting, like this pairing, because it's like they're both really tall and lanky and kind of awkward. And that was, like, literally the whole reason they put them together in this matchup. True. So I thought that's kind of, like, a very interesting build. Like, you know, like, but they used it in their way. I mean, if you're a DDT fan, I'm sure you loved it. I'm not surprised you thought it was great. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people did. But,
yes, 8.23.
Yeah, see, it's a high rating. The DDT fans really liked it. You know, and this had, that match, I'm looking at it right now, had the most votes on that show. You know, so yeah,
to count, not to draw.
Surprisingly,
well, that's not surprising at all. But yeah, I mean, I would take that match over the main event.
Yeah,
the Brooks and Saki Kai match. It wasn't. I'm not saying like it sucked. I'm just saying that that's not really for me. At the end of the day,
what do you think about the great 14 man tag team match at the Cyberfight Festival?
What a waste.
Yeah, totally disappointing in so many ways.
Why did they even do the confrontation of Kenno and Yukio Sakaguchi if they're not going to do a match?
I really would love to know the thinking behind this booking, to be honest with you. Remember, not that long ago, we were saying that Nakajima could be the one challenging for the title. That show. And then they go to the, you know, this kind of...
The name route. The name value thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. Lamar Fuji. By the way, I did a show on Patreon about that Noah show with an absolutely incredible Sugira and Fujita match on there.
Yes, that was absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
yes.
like a wonderful, like who, man, let's forget all this other stuff. Let's just talk about how awesome Sugira is right now. Like, I'm taking a left turn. Forget the other, like, all the other promotions. Sugira, he needs to win all the titles. He needs to be a champion Carnival next year. He needs to be winning all these things. Like, forget all this other stuff. But no, like I love that match. But yeah, the 14 man tag, it's really disappointing. You would have to say. But I mean, it's clear that these were the guys that they didn't have any plans for, so they just threw them all together.
And you know, the card is already so full, which is probably why they didn't split this up in two matches. But then again, at the TJP show, they announced the participation of the entire TJP roster on that Cyberfight card, and they already have a battle royal without the 22 women on the card.
Why couldn't they have... Are they going to have a title match? Like, are they going to do
Sakazaki? Yes.
Okay. Well, that's at least something then. You know, because if they weren't going to do that, that would be lame. But I mean, I kind of figured...
20 women left.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured they would sadly be in the background for this show, even though, like I said, I mean, I like their show way better than DDT's on this Max Bump night. But, you know, unfortunately, they're going to get behind DDT and Noah. You know, I mean, it is what it is, but I'm happy they at least got a standout singles match between them otherwise. But yes, another Battle Royal.
Another Battle Royale. Yeah, so I guess so much for DDT and TJP for now. We're probably going to be talking about the Cyberfight Festival before it happens in early June. Yeah. So, Rob, I saw that you watched the Dragon Gate show as well, Dead or Alive, from May 5. Give us your rundown of the show, please.
I thought it was a pretty consistently good show.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
Yeah, the only real knock on it you can give is that Dreamgate match where Hip Hop went down early, and you know that kind of derailed the card. But other than that, you know, I just love how behind their young guys they are. Sometimes it gets really confusing because it's all guys that all of them at once. But
yeah,
you know, you have Dragon Daya coming back and him getting his big win. You know, it's just really cool moments like that. You know, SB Kento loses his hair, but he's the highlight of the match. I was so impressed that they didn't give all the spotlight to Kai and Yamato. They were out early in the match, and it was this kid and SB Kento, and I thought both of them did a great job. It was a great way to end that show, and yeah, there's just so much promise with Dragon Gate. You know, I don't think their shows have really hit at the level you expect, but these guys were so young to where they're setting a good foundation, I think, for their future.
I couldn't agree more. Their shows are very consistent. They have a good vibe going throughout their shows. I agree with the main event as well. The Dragon Kid and SB Kento feud probably had to end now. Dragging it any longer wouldn't have really made sense because it just was about the mask and the hair, and at some point you just have to end that. And that ended here. Great point to end this, in my opinion. And at the same time, the Kai and Yamato feud can still go on a little bit and just catch more heat as we're going, and they could, for example, have their big blow-off at the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival in June or July, whenever it is.
Yeah, and it's a way to keep Yamato out of the Dreamgate situation, keep him down lower on the card, and it's a feud that's been building. It's a perfect spot for him, I think.
Did you see the show too, Dylan?
Yep. Yeah, I saw it, and you know, I don't want to sound negative, but I thought, you know, because I didn't really like the DDT show that much. This show was solid, but I didn't think it was particularly standout, even on the Dragon Gate realm. I liked the Okuda and UT match.
Me too.
Earlier in the card. I thought that might have been the best match on the whole show, actually.
I agree.
Yeah, I really enjoyed their match. You look at somebody like an Okuda, it's like this guy is a total stud, in my opinion. It's like last year he had that great feud with Ishida. And, I mean, Ishida had by far, in my opinion, by far, Shun Skywalker's best title match so far last month, and or even 2 months ago now at this point in March. But yeah, I really like that Okuda and UT match. Liked UT wrestling in there, doing his deal. And Okuda, it's like his style is so good. And I love watching him because I especially love that he's in Dragon Gate because it shows you the growth of the company as a whole that you see guys like him around. And we saw up and down the card, there was a ton of different guys that won matches. Kazuma and Kaito won the tag titles. The match wasn't that great, but, you know, it's Yoshida.
They completely destroyed him once again. It was so funny.
Right direction for them to go, though. Move past that.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, and the thing is, that whole thing with Mochizuki and Yoshida worked better than you probably would have thought on paper beforehand.
Yes.
You know,
I remember when I called it out on Twitter when I said that I got highly invested with the Takashi Yoshida match, and Rob was completely bewildered by the take.
Yeah, I think that was before I saw the match. And I saw the match. I'm like, damn it, Striga.
Yeah, right. See?
It shouldn't have worked.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. It worked way better than you might have thought it was. And I think Kaito and Kazuma, they have potential to be a very good team. I didn't love Kazuma's title match against Shun, but it wasn't the greatest, I would say. But I think that they have a lot of potential. I like the dynamic. Again, Kazuma's another guy that you wouldn't have seen 7-8 years ago in Dragon Gate. And him and Ishida, I think, are very, you know, they have a unique chemistry between them. They have good chemistry. I thought they did a solid job. Masquerade Team, I really enjoyed that match, too. I thought Dragon Daya, Jason Lee, La Estrella, love them as a trio. So it's like Jason Lee continues to be a standout guy. He went from a top tag team with Kota Minoura last year, and I think this trios could definitely could be one of the top six-man type of teams in the country, in the world, when you think about it. And I was very happy to see the titles off of Natural Vibes as well, as much like Susumu. I am not a big fan of that gimmick. So I was happy to see the change. Good match, I thought.
Yeah, they have some new dancers now in Natural Vibe with the UT and Funky Jackie Kamai.
Yeah.
So that Susumu has now the role of a background dancer, which is probably the best for him.
Well, he needs to get out of that group. It would be the best for him. Also, I have to shout out something here where I have to criticize you, Rob, for your takes here, because you're so into the gimmicks, the attire is something you really value. We talked about Yuma Oyagi earlier.
Wait a second. Isn't that WH's gimmick to begin with?
Well, I'm sorry for infringing on people's gimmicks.
Yeah, maybe it is, but you know, you're using that at times, and I feel like you were very soft here because I saw your praise for the opening match, which it deserved it. But you praised Big R, Boktomo Dragon, and you did not criticize him wearing this horrendous gear, even after he's lost his mask.
Yeah, I really wished after he lost the mask that the attire would change, but no, he's just, even though we see it's Big R, it's still Boktomo Dragon. The attire is awful. I should say that, but I thought that without saying. Nobody defends that attire.
You needed to run it down. You run down Yuma. And his attire is way better than this Ultimo Dragon crap.
Of course. That goes without saying. I mean, maybe you're right. I should have called it out, but I thought it was so obvious. He has a beautiful face. And, you know, maybe that just clouds me from being so hard on Boktomo.
Okay, I understand that, and he's fallen on some tough times in Dragon Gate. You know, you don't want to pile on.
This has to be a giant rib on him, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. What else is there? I mean, they did a mask versus mask match, and you absolutely know who is under the mask of the guy who is losing, but he's still holding on to the mask. What?
Poor guy, and he still semi makes it work too, which is such a testament to how good a wrestler he is.
Yeah, and now in this match they did this tag team spot with Benkei, which kind of looked awesome, and it is a glimpse of hope that maybe they are going back to the tag team because Benkei isn't doing anything either.
I know. I loved that team, whether they were faces and Maximum or heels and red. Hopefully that's where they go.
Yeah, I want to say I really like the Keisuke Okuda versus UT match the most on this card. I thought that UT played a great, great role in this match. I loved his various submissions that he had. At some point, he had Keisuke Okuda in this Rings of Saturn-like submission, and I loved that Keisuke Okuda is such a different wrestler from what you normally see in this company, as you pointed out. Okuda is not getting out of his submission hold by going to the ropes. No, he just punches the guy in the face to escape from the submission, which is amazing. So awesome. And this back and forth with a sleeper hold in the end with Muti's submission attempts. It was just a totally cool 12 minutes or 11:31. And this is a great role too for this championship. It is clearly the secondary title. It mostly gets attention in the opening matches, third from the top or third match here on the card. And you know what you're getting. You're getting short title matches, but you're getting on the point title matches. And Okuda's title run has been great. And I was thinking, do you guys think that he could be Dreamgate material?
Well, the knock is always promo ability, right? That's why, you know, people say Benkei just couldn't continue. I haven't seen Okuda's attempts at that, so we'd have to... Talent level, they're already going in this different direction with all their different Dreamgate guys they're going with, so I could see them giving it a try if he has those abilities.
He'll have to wait in line because right now they're really on this young guy push, and he's 29. Which it's not old,
but much too old for this.
Yeah, he's not old, but I mean, compared to guys like Shun and SB Kento, like I said, you know, so he's not a Dragon Gate system guy either, which could be a problem. Yeah. So he'll have to wait in line, but I mean, he's doing great right now with the Brave Gate. I think, like you said, the talent is there at the end of the day. Will they go with him or will they go with the young guys? You know, we don't know. At the end of the day, like someone like Hip Hop Kakuta, he's getting a title match at 21, right now. And what did you say? It was like his third singles match of his career?
Third singles match, yes.
So they're going with the young guys here right now.
Yeah, and that is kind of my criticism of the match because The Shun Skywalker title run started off with this injury that happened to Ben K in the match that they had. No fault of Shun Skywalker, in my opinion, and Dylan, we discussed it, and you thought the same of this situation. Yeah, the singles matches, let me see. He actually had one with Shun Skywalker in November of last year. We went 4 minutes. Then Hiphop Kikuta beat Ben K in 15 minutes in March, and then this one. And, of course, very unfortunate situation with Hiphop Kikuta landing so badly on his shoulder and injuring the shoulder. But I really question why you put him into this situation. Of course, the idea is this is the two youngest guys, the youngest champion and the youngest challenger. I get that, but I don't think that it served any purpose for Hiphop Kikuta's career to have him in the championship match in this situation. I think the pressure was really high on him. I'm not saying that the injury happened because of that, but I can see him going into this match and really getting himself in under pressure. And you saw it that he wanted to continue, obviously. He got his legs on the ropes when Skywalker did the submission, and Eitai had to throw in the towel for him, as he obviously saw that Kikuta couldn't continue. So I question why they put him in here.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's because the age, having the youngest title match. And I think also, I really don't question that at all, honestly, because this is the dead or alive show. This, you know, it's not going to be the main event. You want, I mean, no offense to him, but it's like you want a weak challenger on this show. It's not going to be the main event. And you have this history-making match. I really don't think you could say that with this four-minute match where he got injured, that the pressure got to him at all. I don't think that had anything to do with anything, pretty much.
I did not say. Didn't say
that. But I don't think. I don't know how you could determine that he was feeling pressure because it was such a short match. Is all I'm saying. Like we didn't learn anything about Kikuta in this match at all. In my opinion, it's like it was just too short as any kind of, how he felt or anything. If anything, he wanted to continue, like you were saying. So I didn't get that feeling at all, honestly. If anything, Shun is the one that probably has a down rating in terms of his anything, because I feel like, unfortunately, the second time of having the injury, that's going to hurt people's visions of him. But really, with this, it was like, even compared to the first one, I mean, like, this was a total freak accident. Like, I don't
think. No, absolutely. I didn't draw the comparison to the pressure and the injury. That's what I clearly said.
No, not at all. I'm saying I don't understand why you're coming up with that at all. It was a 4 minute match where how could you tell that there was pressure on him?
Well, there clearly has to be pressure if you're going into a situation like this and being a young guy like this.
How do you tell that it affected him, Eddie?
No, I'm not saying it affected him. I'm not saying that it affected him, but I'm just saying I don't.
It was his third match, and it was just a big, big, big spot.
Yeah,
not a big spot. It was like, I mean, compared to the like what it would normally be.
This is the third match in his career, and he's in a title match on a big show like Dead or Alive. That is a big spot for a guy like him.
Yeah, but it wasn't like to me, I'm not buying that. Like, to be honest with you, I don't really. It was a title match, third match of his career. Yes, it's a big deal. He's been around. They've been pushing him pretty consistently ever since he joined Red as well, which obviously as well. Like, you would probably say like, oh, well, if you're going to do this young guy title match, you would rather it be SBK. But, SBK, they don't want him to lose at the end of the day. And to me, I just felt like this was an obvious spot for someone like him. And I thought it was a really ballsy and good move, actually, to put him in.
I don't get why they couldn't have given him some more singles matches before.
Well, that's a completely different conversation because I agree with you there. I don't know why they didn't, to be honest with you. I mean, like, I did a show on Patreon about this, by the way. But when they did the match where he beat Ben K, I was thinking, like, huh? like, why would you do that at the end of the day? So, I mean, that part I agree, in terms of the singles matches. Why didn't they have more? I don't know. I think, like, the thing is, though, like, let's just say this injury didn't happen, and they had a great match.
Yeah,
to me, then everything would make sense. Like, the injury is the cause of all of this, not really anything of its own. I mean, maybe it could have been a terrible match, and then we could have been like, well, like that would have, I would have bought it more. I just think I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm saying it's impossible to determine that, like based on.
I agree. I'm just making assumptions. That's correct.
Well, I mean that's okay. Like, I mean, you might be right. Like, I'm not saying you're completely wrong. I'm just saying I don't know if we could tell with this. And I think, unfortunately, like, really, the problem is not hip hop. It's more so Shun is what everybody was really talking about that I can see.
And look at Shun's reign now.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I mean, Dragon Gate is good at turning chicken shit into chicken salad.
That's a good way to put it.
Certain situations, but this title run, as mentioned, he defeated Ata. Nobody saw that coming. He defeated Benkei in that unfortunate situation in last December. Then he had matches, the great match, the best match. Was it a great match? I don't know. The Kaito one? Was it?
Yeah.
Let me see the rate. Yeah, right.
A lot of people loved that match. Yes. I thought it was like one of the matches of the year. And I thought it was a great match.
A match of the year, I don't know, but I remember that I liked it a lot.
Yeah, one of the best Dragon Gate matches, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, either number one or two. There was this tag match with Kai and BB Hope earlier in the year that blew me away with how good it was.
Mm-hmm. But it's Liam and Nora.
Yeah. Like, I thought that was way better than, like, that whole time. Man, I'm nostalgic for this tag team now because it was so much better. Like, when that happened, I was like, man, this is going to suck. Like, but then, like, they totally made it work. Kai is the man. Like, I'm telling you, Kai's so underrated. But yeah, like, that Ishida and Shun match was, like, by far the best of his title reign.
Then Kazuma Sakamoto, which was okay. And now the one in the unfortunate TKO. This is not a good title run.
Yeah. I feel for him. Like, Oh, another thing about Kakuta I want to praise him on is, now this situation sucks for all kinds of reasons, but I loved his, Twitter promo he cut afterwards where he was like, I'll never forget this, you bastard. And I was like, yes! Like, I'm ready to
rock,
baby. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm ready to go with this. Like, I mean, it sucks about the injury and all of this, but it's like, you could, this could have been a big blessing in the long term, because now you have a heated feud suddenly. Like, if he had just, even if he had a great match, right? And maybe we could have said, oh, he's way, advanced for his years, it's only his third match, blah, blah, blah. Like, that would have been good, but he would have been to the backside after that. Like, this was a really weak tie. That's why I said it's not that big of a spot, because this was a total gimme title defense, like Shingo and Osprey, but even lesser, because it's not even in the main event. He would have just disappeared. But with this, now you have super heat if they go back to this in the future, and you have, like, a hot angle that they can play off of. So I love Kakuta's... the way he played off of this. And I love the way, like you said, turning chicken shit into chicken salad on there. But Shun, unfortunately, I completely agree with you. What is with this title reign? It's unfortunate in a lot of ways. But, I mean, he's a guy, like, when that happened, like you said, we were kind of wondering. It's like, man, is he really ready for this? And so far, it hasn't been great, to say the least. And, I mean, Kobe World, that's coming up in a couple of months, Yoshino's retiring soon. This is going to be a big era for Dragon Gate as a company. And hopefully he can pull it together. I mean, I like the guy. I love his talent. When he came in, I remember thinking, man, this guy could be something. And it just feels like all of this was a little too fast on him. And they felt pressured, or not pressured, they pressured themselves more than anything to put a young guy as the champion. And they were like, oh, well, maybe Kakuta, SBK, they're too young for some reason. Whatever. So, like, let's give the Shun a chance. I applaud them again because they push the young guys, like Robert was saying earlier. They go hard with the young guys more than any other company in Japan, where you can watch these guys go up, and really any other company in the world, where you can watch these guys grow up before your eyes and not even have to wait years and years, like with a lot of the other companies. So I love the idea of it. I just think, unfortunately, it hasn't really panned out yet. And do we know who is next? Title match is going to be against?
No, the King of Gate is coming up now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
King of Gate.
Unfortunately, no fans for that one.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, same as last year.
But Rob, what's your take on the Brave Gate title match?
Oh, yeah. Okuda, he had those matches last year with Ishida that were really good. I think he's a really solid wrestler. He's not one of my favorites. He's not someone I clamor for. I was hoping UT would win this match. He's not my guy, but he's one of those guys I see. It's like, oh, clearly good, but not someone that excites me on any level.
I was ready for UT, to be honest.
Yes.
And wow, that's that, interesting.
I thought, halfway through the match, I really believed.
I know. I believe too. Because you remember his match with Susumu
mm-hmm.
2019, and that was like UT's big coming out. Like, this guy could do it. So I was all about that.
And what a great challenger too in his hometown. Like a guy that's really under, you know, under the radar, so to speak. Give this hometown guy a chance to do it. You know, he was super motivated. Even if the fans, you know, weren't there. I mean, this had a big crowd. This was 2,180 people in Aichi. So it's like, this was a good crowd, but even if there was nobody there, it's his hometown. You know, he's going to be motivated to put on a good match. So I love that booking of giving him a shot here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, similar to like Dragon Kid, you know, he's also from the area. He got the main event.
Yeah, that played into the story of the main event too. But yeah, so what'd you think of Okuda as well in that match?
There's nothing wrong with Okuda. You know, it's just like you guys say, he is something different for Dragon Gate, but there's also not the type of guy I'm watching Dragon Gate to see. So anytime his match, like, he's not a guy that really connects with me on any significant level.
Stringer, cut his mic.
Yeah, who is this guy?
No, I feel you on that one a little bit. But I think, wouldn't you rather have more variety with guys like him? Even though he's not traditional Dragon Gate style.
Also, he's a short match guy.
don't put my gimmick into this. Again, just not someone I see on a card and say, oh, okay, Okuda, let's go. Just something about him doesn't connect with me on the level of he does with other people.
I hear you.
Well, that happens, of course. Of course. Completely fine here. And Dylan, since you asked for the probable contenders for Shun Skywalker next, the King of Gate is starting on the 14th. We have three blocks.
Hey, can I just say one thing real quick before you get into those? Because we were talking about the format of the Champion Carnival earlier. Mm-hmm. I've always really liked the King of Gate format.
Yeah.
When it came to the multiple blocks. Like, I think that's actually probably one of the best ones. It reminds me of like a World Cup style of, you know, four blocks, four winners, and they all go. Obviously, this time is a little different, but still, it's like, you know, like all the people who win the blocks go to the semifinals. You know me, I love those semifinals, man. I miss those in the G1 when you had Kanemoto in the semifinals like 15 years ago and stuff like that. So I love how Dragon Gate does the King of Gate. I love the format. I just wanted to bring that up.
That's why the Ikitosen Strong Climb last year got such a hype before it fell apart. So, unfortunately...
It didn't end as well.
But yes. Four blocks and real cool matchups there in these four blocks. And I agree with you.
Yeah, the one this year also got derailed. So, cursed tournament.
So, King of Gate, Block A, Naruki Doi, Benkei, Kota Minoura, Takashi, Yoshida, BB Hulk, and Diamante. Block B, KZ, Susumu Yokosuka, Dragon Kid, Jason Lee, Eita, SB Kento. What a block!
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
My god. Block C, Shun Skywalker, Yamato, Keisuke Okuda, UT, rematch, cool. Kaito Ishida, and replacing Hip-Hop Kikuta is HYO.
He's a replacement.
These are plenty. Yes. So, what do you think about it? Well, Block B is awesome. What do you think about the rest?
Should be a good tournament. Yeah, you go, Rob.
We're not, you know, it's like the Fyre Festival. But we're not going to see every match. That's just how it is with Dragon Gate's King of Gate. They spread it out across the tour, and some shows never make it. And
We got to see all of it last year.
Yeah, last year was quite different.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Because it was completely empty arena stuff.
That's true.
What Rob says, sometimes they only have one match on one show, and it's just a tour stop at some arena in a small town, and they just don't make the hassle of taping that.
Well, yeah, I hope they
don't. Sometimes you don't see those under guys, but, it'll be really cool because we're seeing so many different matches with these young guys we've been talking about, and they're out of the tag formats, which... is always a test with these guys because Dragon Gate, big tag company, you know, guys usually look their best in tag. So you get to see, you know, if they were at Dream Gate or Brave Gate level, what they would look like in a singles match.
Yeah, absolutely. And who do you see coming out of each block?
Oh, I would need to look at the blocks again for a second.
It's Doi. Block A is Doi, Benkei. Wait a sec. I'm going to put it into our chat here. So you can check
out. Oh, that's very helpful.
Yes. Oh, amazing. Okay, this is great. Well, I'd love to see Jason Lee, but that's not going to happen.
Oh.
I know. What a guy. Disappeared off the screen. What happened?
I see it. Here, I can see.
All right, well, who do you have going then?
A-Block, I think that could go in a couple of different ways. Diamante has the most recent win, but it was over. Oh, I mean, he's not even in this. So that should
Why count. Would he?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's kind of a geek anyway, so it's fine. I would, of the guys, I would prefer Ben K, but I think that they're going to go with, like, historically, like, even last year in the King of Gate, Doi is the one to watch, and I think he'll probably win A-Block. But Diamante is a sleeper, in my opinion, if they want to go with him.
I have Kota Minoura as a black horse here. I mean, if you throw in a guy like this into the final situation, there is nothing to lose with a young guy like him. You can just throw him into the final and have him eliminated first, but he still won the block.
And he has that size. They've already put titles on him. Here he gives me like Yamato-type vibes.
Yeah!
He'd be a good call.
Yeah. What about you, Rob? Block A.
I'm still trying to find...
Naoki Doi, Benkei, Kota Minoura, Takashi Yoshida, BB Hulk, Diamante.
I think you're on it with Minoura. Like, that's... Yeah. That's I really hope that happens. I'm now encouraged by that to where I'm not accepting any other possibility.
Well, I would prefer that. Minoura's, I love his tag team with Jason Lee last year. And he's somebody, like, he wasn't doing anything. And I always saw something in him. I was like, man, they need to get behind this guy. Like, he could be somebody. And then they did, and he's somebody. Like, that pretty much on there. So I really appreciate that. But yeah, I'm always going with the tried and true when it comes to the yes. booking. So I'm going with Doi on there. B block. Now that Robert can see the blocks now, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I cannot, but I'm looking.
I have put it into our Twitter
group. Go to Twitter group. Yeah. So, again, using my thing on Diamante, Dragon Kid had the most recent big win, but I don't think that really matters in terms of this tournament, although I really enjoyed it. DK has always been one of my favorites in Dragon Gate, so that was kind of cool for him to win. I think in this block, SBK is the one that stands out right now, and I feel like he would be in your Minoura role that you kind of outlined. Like, he could win his block and then, not win in the finals, pretty much. Also, Ada, I think, would be a good pick as well.
I don't know about that, Dylan, because I don't see SB Kento in the Minoura role. I see him more dominant, to be quite honest, because he is the one who has recently lost his hair. He will go in with a mean streak, and he could be dominant in this block because they really see a lot of him.
Yeah, but I'm saying he could win the block but not win the tournament.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe he wins the tournament.
More early.
He could win the tournament. This is a really, really stacked block.
Yeah. But to be honest, they do a lot of things early in a lot of guys' careers.
Right. I mean, it's hard to argue that. Like, so, look at the champion.
So why not, man? But yes, of course, you could also go to Ada. Sure. Or KZ, but KZ has had a title challenge last year too. So yeah, it's a really stacked block.
Yeah, the only ones you can really eliminate are Kid and Jason.
Yeah,
everybody else is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah,
I would love Susumu to win this one. Would be a great match, to be honest. If you have Susumu Yokosuka win the King of Gate, you would have a great challenger for Shun Skywalker, because for once, he can really rely on a veteran to guide him through the match.
He needs that. He needs somebody like Susumu right now. Like, that could, that's the great worker that can, really have a match that he can be proud of as champion. And so, like, we had that with Ishida earlier on, where, he had a great match. But he needs another one like that. They need to go with, like, a sure thing, in my opinion, if I were in charge. But I don't know if that's where they're going.
Yeah. I would do that, actually.
Yeah, like, that's why I don't think it should be SBK, because, like, if someone else was champion, I might be down with that. But it's like with Shun as champion, I think that like that's a real awkward thing. And like that's a match that they're building to clearly as a bigger match. I could see SBK winning the title off of Shun. And are they ready to get the title off of Shun yet? Not that I'm saying right or wrong. Like, so, you know, I would love that. I think SBK's got a ton of potential in star power. Even more than Shun, to be honest, quite frankly with you. But I just think it's a little early. So I'm going to do something very unpopular and go with neither of those options. I go with Eita, because I think that they have a storyline with Eita and SBK. Like somewhere along the line, Eita's going to get turned on, I feel like, in this red deal and become a babyface. Like that's my prediction.
It's been brewing for months, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we could be nearing that point right now. And I think it would make more sense for Eita to win, because he's going to be the one that needs to go babyface, not SBK, at the end of the day. So I think Eita will get the win in this block.
That makes sense. You know, he has been in the background for a while people like SBK are taking over. Everybody else is getting their title shots and kind of just standing back there. So babyface run does feel imminent for him.
Block C. Susumu, though.
Block C, we have the champion. We have Yamato. So, name value with Yamato. Okuda, UT, Kaito Ishida. Kaito Ishida. Now, he recently had a title match. HYO is not going to win the block.
How dare you disrespect it?
Sorry. Maybe he's going to go to another series of low blows to beat guys like Mochizuki.
This is a wild card type of block.
It's difficult to not name Yamato.
What about Shun? Like, he's the young champion.
Yeah.
Needs experience.
Yeah.
Probably could use a good match after what we saw last show.
Yep, and it gives him experience up against, you know, a potential winner.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yamato, I think, is the favorite, but I think I think the one time you can't write out the champion is a situation like this, because like this Shun reign has made things so weird in Dragon Gate with the title. That's why normally I'd be all on board with SBK winning, but just with the situation, I think things are in a weird spot right now. Ishida did have a title match, but again, you can make the final and lose. You know, so I don't think it's. You can't count out like four of these guys, like UT and HYO, and I don't think Okuda will win, but I don't think it's impossible either.
And let's say both Eita and Kaito Ishida make the finals, they could once again work out into the direction of Eita splitting from RED.
Absolutely. Eita could lose, and that would, you know, signify like they could do the turn there, pretty much. Or like cost Ishida the match somehow or something like that. Something would screw up and they would blame Eita for it. Yeah. I like that idea, actually. I think I'm going to go with that. Because like the way, like I predicted Doi to win A block, and with Eita and Ishida in, Doi can win and you again have the veteran challenger.
Yes.
Although I prefer Susumu. But with the veteran challenger and Doi, you can finally have that match. I think it makes perfect sense. And with Yoshino retiring soon, you have an emotional storyline. Like, he could say, like, I'm going to win the title for you one last time, buddy. Yeah. You know, that kind of deal. So I like how this is played out for me. I'm going with Doi, Eita, and Ishida to win the blocks.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Doi winning this whole thing makes a lot of sense when you bring Yoshino into the mix.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have Kai in this tournament, so you're not really sure the direction of Yamato right now.
The greatest story in my mind is just playing out, actually. Kai is not in this tournament, but he runs out in every single match to get Yamato either disqualified or counted out, so Yamato ends up with 0 points.
That would be awesome. I love that.
So you get to the world match.
Yeah, well, let's make some calls and make it happen.
Brilliant. Well, that's like a brilliant booking. That, well, another one of your greatest moments. Second only to Kotage winning the title and a cape being on the title at NOAH. That's your all-time best. This is your second best.
And Striga, you know, they're not going to be in front of fans now, so you can do stuff like that. They're, absolutely. You know, nobody there is expecting Yamato to have a big match.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is Kai doing?
Nothing.
basically.
Thumbs. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So
why was he in this? like that. When you think about it, why was HYO in this instead of him?
Right. So it tells you something has to be going on.
Yeah. Is he injured or something?
He was on the show, the Dead or Alive show.
Yeah, I know.
In the main event, in fact.
I know, but did he do really a lot in that match?
No, he was first to escape really fast.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're onto something here, Striga. Good eye.
So that could be the reason why he's not in this tournament. But I think they announced the blocks before the show, too, so. Not sure
he
about.
He hasn't been feeling good for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been injured for months.
Yes. Well, we're going to see what comes out on in the end. But we laid out some routes for the King of Gate to go, and it's starting very soon. So look out for that. And from my list of things, we've got everything here. It wasn't a long show, but I really enjoyed talking to both of you, because it was a really nice conversation about everything going on in Golden Week. And we should, as we said at the beginning of the show, we should do this again whenever the next opportunity is, with the next tournament coming around.
Yeah, the only downfall to this is now I have no Eastern Lariat to listen to this week. I mean, luckily I'm subscribed to the Patreon, so I still have my content there with Dylan, but man, now I know everything that you guys said.
Ah, damn it.
But yes, this is always a great time. I love talking to you guys.
Awesome, man. Dylan, anything else that you want to throw in?
Oh, I love doing the show with you guys, both of you. Like, Rob, I really appreciate the time you gave me talking about Champion Carnival. It was so much fun just to talking, hanging out, and going over some wrestling, and some that we really enjoyed. And it was really great not to only do one tournament and not three at the same time, like last time, like last year, with how everything worked out. So that was pretty cool. But I'll be going on this King of Gate 2, whatever they show, if there's anything that they don't show. I might make up some stuff that happened again on there, try and fill in the blanks, fantasy book they're booking. But regardless, everything we can see, I'll cover, because I'm interested. I think this is a good tournament. DDT, TJP, all of those shows are worth checking out in their own way. And, there's some good stuff coming up. Even though that the pandemic cost New Japan their big show, we're still going to have the Noah show and DDT, the big cyber fight show. Like you said, Strig, we'll be talking about that soon. So, and I was really happy, too, to talk about the carnival with you, Strig, being on there to be with us. And it was a bona fide hoot, in my opinion. And I cannot wait to do it again with both and or either of you.
That's a good way to end the show. So I want to thank you all for listening to this very long show of the Eastern Lariat. And there's only one thing to say. And again, bye, bye, bye.
Sayonara.
It's going to be a staple now.
Sure.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.